Hey, people, this is the Conspiracy Oz podcast. I'm your host, Mick Raven. It is Tuesday, the 28th of November, 2023. This is a review covering alternative news and events. Call +61 02 800 619 18 anytime. Drop me an email at conspiracyoz@protonmail.com. Go to the website conspiracyoz.com. Download the podcast from iTunes, Spotify, or podomatic.com and get with the DE program. Well, the first thing I want to talk about today is what's happening with the gold. And as I predicted, and if you can go to conspiracyoz.com like I have, you'll see that I put up a story. Oh, it's not really a story. It's more or less just a graph, really. And it just shows what's happening with gold. And I've been saying this for a very long time, but I think this is the time. I think it's going to start going up. I don't think it's going to come back down now. So one of the graphs I put up, and it's from abcbullion.com.au, which is another site out there that shows gold. It's nothing special about it. It just shows what's been reflected on the market. And it's got all the other ones, you know, the silver and all that. But I'm not interested in that. The gold one is usually the one that these well-to-do people will start buying in bulk when they know something's coming, because they get tipped off first. And so you think, oh, that's not very fair. Oh, no, it isn't. But that's what happens. So that's an indicator. It actually lets you know and the rest of us that something's coming. Something big's on the horizon. Something's about to happen. Now, it's already been happening. It's not anything big. It's just going to be a shock treatment thing like the Israeli-Hamas war. No, it's not going to be anything like that. It's been happening probably since, I'd say, the beginning of the pandemic to when it is now. So it's a gradual incline that's been going up and up. So if you go to conspiracyoz.com like I have, you'll see that I've got two graphs up. So if you click on them, they go the full page, as most people would know. They go to the WordPress site I've got. And you can see that around about 2009, I put an arrow in there that shows when the housing collapse came, the Lehman Brothers. And then you had the financial crisis. And it's sort of, if you actually look, you can see that it's almost at $2,000 an ounce, even in 2012. So nearly, over 10 years ago, it peaked and then it fell down. And I think the lowest it got was around 2016 when it was almost dropped down to $1,000 an ounce. And this is Australian AUD. Now, the problem with that, people, is that it then starts its gradual climb. Now, there was no major events in those periods in there. But you can see if you look at the housing collapse from 2009, you can see it's almost down to 1,000. And then if you look at it just now, it's above 2,000. So you can see that there has been a slow climb since 2009 up to now. So quite a long time. But still, I'm now going to predict that this is going to keep rising. And I know it's been up and down. You can see since during the pandemic, around about 2021, all the way through to 2000. It's a bit of a seesaw. It hasn't really gone down or up. It's sort of maintaining that. But I've got a feeling now it's going to start climbing. I've got a feeling now that they're going to bring on something else. We've got two wars going at the moment, as you know, and they're not really global wars at this stage. I mean, the global elites are involved. They're all trying to put their two cents in, but it's not really panning out to that. And as you can see, most people have already forgotten about the Ukraine-Russian war. Pretty funny that, isn't it? How it was, everyone was rooting for the red team or the blue team. And now they're not rooting for either of them. It's just evil Putin and he's, on the job. Nobody cares going back to what it was before. It was just like a regional war that's been going before the supposed invasion of the Russians. So didn't work. So the globalists have tried their hand at another one where I reckon, in my opinion, Hamas have been given an open door to invade and kill those Israeli collateral damage to get the Hamas on the run. And see, because remember, the Israelis are now just killing kids. They're killing anybody. So it's got nothing to do with Hamas anymore. It's to do with just wiping people out and moving them on to southern Gaza. And as I've stated, they're after the gas. But this is also a diversional tactic by the globalists to get you not watching the big picture, which is what the WEF has wanted all along, which is a universal basic income, collapse all jobs, buy up all the houses, and you will own nothing and be happy. That's how quick they're going to try and do this, people. It's very hard to imagine everyone out of their combustion engines driving electric cars without jobs and on a UBI. It's almost impossible to imagine that. But they, and you remember the pandemic when it hit, and you remember how quick things changed and how quickly you've forgotten. And that's how things can happen again in a blink of an eye. And that's what it seems like, even though it felt like an eternity while it was happening. If you were on the activist side and you were trying to show people that the whole pandemic was a hoax and it was pushed by climate change now, and there's all sorts of things pushing this whole idea of Agenda 21/30. And they'll use anything to get you to join the bandwagon so they can get there quicker. Eventually they'll just reveal themselves, people. They'll just say, we're the cabal and you'd like to do as you're told now, and if you don't, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it will get to that if they don't get what they want with the Fabian technique, which is gradually. And that's what's happening with the gold. It's gradual. I mean, if you look at that, and in fact, if you go to the other chart, which is, hasn't got anything written on it at all, you'll see that even when I did the post, you can see when I did the actual print of that one on the 26th, it was at 2005. And now, if you look at it, you go to the latest one, and I'm just going to do that now, go back to the website. You go to the latest gold one, and you can see on the 28th, it's now up to 2018. Now, it hasn't really done that before. If you look back at the other ones, you can see where it sort of tipped, almost got to 2000, didn't quite get there. You look at some other ones, not, but now it is. Okay, so it's never actually hit that mark before. It's there now. So we are in what I call the end time or the end game or the end anything, but it's coming. This is going to be the fourth industrial revolution in full swing, okay? Because if they can get everyone to get on a universal basic income thinking that that's a security blanket, then they've got us. Because basically then they can do a digital sweep with the ID across everybody, just like a QR code. Like if you want the government money, you've got to join up. And of course everyone will join, but that doesn't mean it's going to stay like that. They'll lose a lot of money in the interim while they're paying people just like they did in COVID, this weekly allowance, which you can have even with a job. But then the coffers will run out. And that's when the truth will be revealed, when you don't go back to a job. And then you're stuck on this low income, which will probably fall because they'll tell you that. They'll say they can't pay enough people. There's not enough people working anymore. And that's when they get their total control, because they have to control your food, water, what you eat, what you buy, where you go. Everything will be utterly controlled, and you'll be managed by a tiny cabal of elites. Well, you know, at their whim. Because they're going to have the control because they got the bucks. So they can pay their minions for as long as it takes. All they've got to do is get all of us signed up. And they can do this broad sweep with a digital broom across all the nations of the world. But they really want to knock down the middle class down to that lower level so we can't get to them. Okay? It's going to be very interesting to see if they can pull this off. I'm, of course, as you know, ridiculously doubtful. Like, there's no way they're going to be able to pull this off. This, I have more faith in people waking up and saying, well, we're not going to do that. I know people can't believe this could be happening, but it actually is. And we do need to wake up. And I know I keep saying it, and other people say it too, but we really do. We've got to try and break away from Netflix and Hollywood and that, and start to see what is really happening in the world, not what the fictitious side of the world is trying to show you to keep you diverted. There's nothing wrong with being entertained. I like it too. But at the same time, you've got to drag yourself back to reality and try and realize if we don't change this, we will be in a brave new 1984. We won't be able to get back from it, because it's not going to be a nationwide thing. It'll be a global thing. That's a really dangerous thing. It's very dangerous to think we can't come back from that. Because that's basically what's going to happen in the world. It'll be a whole new, what the elitists will tell us is a utopian future, but it's really just for them. We're not going to benefit out of it. It's a bit like if you watch Brave New World and you see they've got the controllers in there and they seem to have anything they want. They've got all the power. They can do what they like. Stay natural, do this, do that. Everyone else has to conform. That's what they want. They want the same system. That's why it's not that far-fetched. So, yeah, I just thought I'd point the gold thing out because it really is an indicator, people. It really will help you to go, okay, I'm not going to stick my head in the sand any longer. I don't need a crystal ball for this. It's in my face. I can see it, all right? The other indicator, of course, is the in Australia, just for us locally, because that's why I'm doing the whole website anyway and the whole podcast, it is the bankruptcies, but we don't see it till at the end of the month when they do the finalisation of the monthly amount. So we know that changes. We know that they never tell you the one that's the truth at the time, and everyone would be used to that now. But the fact that it's staying up in the 800s and 900s, these are major companies going under. And if you look back at the graphs before that, even over the few years before that, you won't see anything as bad as that. So the two indicators are there. All right, it's there. Even though they're making October look like it's one of the lowest ever, they've done that before. They've done that in the graph before, and then it shot up to 800 or 900 major companies going under with tens of thousands of people losing their jobs, and they don't talk about it. They just tell you about the interest rates going up or something like that, or just they won't tell you about the things that are very obvious. It's like you'll never hear about the Israelis want the gas. Off the maritime gas that is really for the Palestinians. It's actually theirs. They're just going to go and take it. And they're going to hand it out with all the other countries, including Australia's Woodside Petroleum was standing by as well. I don't know if they still are, but they were. This is horrendous. So you can see what collateral damage is. It's just a few thousand people, or in this case, tens of thousands will probably be killed for the greed of the few. So that's what they think of you. They don't think at all of you. So you've got to start thinking for yourself, more or less. So I just thought I'd point that out, that these are two indicators that must be watched from now on. You do need to look at them. It's not something to brush aside anymore, because if you want pre-warning, this is it. You won't get any more warnings. You'll just get hit hard on the back of the head with when they come down on you. And you don't want to be like that. You want to make sure that you... friends that you know, and just people are informed, and just they're not going to get shocked, okay? But a lot of people are going to get shocked that don't expect this to happen, because this collapse is going to be bigger than the 2008-2009 collapse, because that one was sort of, it wasn't localized, but at the same time it did have a ripple effect, but it didn't affect Australia. The next one will. It'll be probably hundreds of times bigger. It's going to affect the whole world. It'll push the Chinese yuan to the top. It'll change the whole seat at the table, as you will, and that's what's going to give the Chinese the edge this time. It's almost going to be their time to shine, if that makes any sense. And they will take over. They're the best military police you can do. They'll militarize all their minions all over the world to act as like a global police, and it will work because they're disciplined to do it. They don't have any religion or anything getting in the way of getting the job done. All right, there's nothing in the way. So... wait and see, but I'm telling you now, the globalists are going to use them and their technologies to do it, because they are very good at copying, but they're also very good at obeying. So the globalists themselves may not be Chinese nationals, some of them are, but at the same time, it's not a nationalist thing, it's not a religious thing. Okay, so I just thought I'd point out that there's something big coming, and it's starting to take shape now. I just know that once they get rid of cash and they've got everyone ready to sign up to the digital ID, that's when it begins. Then the profiling will start. Just like what the Nazis did in World War II prior to that, when they started profiling all the Jewish people ready for the arrests and the demonization. Same thing will happen, but this is a different sort of profiling. This is like anti-government profiling, and anyone that's a conspiracy theorist or anyone that thinks outside the square that they don't like, you'll get tarred with that brush. And that's when the 1984 part comes in, where all the ones that are sort of like drifting along will be in the Brave New World type setup, where you've got the young people all taking some certain type of drug to keep them all from thinking too clearly. And they move on to the 1984 surveillance and arrests. And that will happen too. But there'll be two split worlds where the happy-go-luckies won't really want to know about what's happening to the other people. And this is where we're going to have a real problem, because... the youth at the moment is very much, I wouldn't say shrouded or distracted, but it's very hard from the focus. And that's meant to be like that. You know, you're meant to sort of not have any focus and not know what you are or where you're going. They want the general public to be like that, but they hit the youth first through the education system and all the political correctness that's come through. It's confused. It's even confused the older folk who actually went through a time when there was no censorship and everything was fairly free and you used common sense. They're very confused too of what's happening to the young people. It's not really a digital divide, even though physically there is one. If you get on a computer and they type faster and all that sort of stuff, yeah. But at the same time, the knowledge of both sides is now fused. But at the same time, no one's acting on it. So everyone knows something's wrong. They know they're losing control, but no one is acting on it. It's almost like they've lost the will to stand up and do anything about it. And I think that's really what's happening worldwide too. I mean, it's not, I'm not saying it's everyone, but I'm saying overall, the masses will move in the direction that the globalists want. Now, on another note, this is a humorous note, so I'm bringing in a bit of humor here because, you know, you need to be you need to keep on top of this stuff and not get down, because the moment you get down, just like the headlines that were flashing around today saying that now voluntary assisted dying, which is murdering someone, is legalized in Australia. So you can actually coax someone into, you know, pushing the button and jumping off the edge, and it's all good with smiles. Doctors smile, everyone's smiling as you, kill yourself legally. That's really what it is. They give it all these names like voluntarily assisted dying. They call it VAD. I call it DED, dead. It's just less people. You know, push the button, off they go. But anyway, what I was saying, you've got to keep on top of it and keep a bit of humor. And the humor I saw recently was absolutely hilarious. So if you go to conspiracyoz.com like I have, and you actually go to the humor page, you'll see something very funny. It actually should be, I used to have an InfoWars News War tab at the top of the conspiracyoz.com, but I realized I don't really want to start promoting other sites. I mean, I got all my head start from them, and I'm now pushing the Australian perspective, and I think I'm sort of hanging in there. I've been there for more than a decade, still hanging in there, doing my thing. I don't have, you know, trillions of followers. I don't have a YouTube account or a Facebook or Instagram or any of that. I more or less just have a podcast, and I just get a rant out every week for a couple of hours just to let people know something, and that's about it. Then I get on with my life just like the rest of us should. But anyway, in this particular case, on the humor tab, if you go there, it's got, and this is so funny, and it's so typical of Alex. It says, Alex Jones's New World Order War video game. That's right, he's made a video game, alexjonesgame.com, and it's got, it's absolutely hilarious. He does do the freak out and start screaming while the video game's on. In other words, in the trailer where he announces it, it's really funny, people. I mean, good on Alex to have a sense of humor, because if anyone needs one, it's got to be him, because he is getting absolutely hammered. He really is. People are leaving him in droves thinking, oh, well, he was wrong about Sandy Hook. They really got him on that. See, the problem with anything when you do something, when you're trying to keep your credibility, the moment you falter or you get caught out with one thing, and only has to take one thing, and it was nearly Pizzagate for Alex, one thing, you lose all credibility, and everyone drops you like a rock. And it nearly happened to him. Everybody was leaving Alex in droves when the Sandy Hook thing came along. This is where the kids were killed at the Sandy Hook school in Newtown in the US. And he claimed that they were actors, which some of these false flags are, people. They do this. It's diversional. It creates, like in Australia, we had the shooting in 1996 with the Port Arthur massacre in Tasmania, where you had a guy that had, I think he had an IQ of something like about 60 or something. It was really low. That's Martin Bryant. And apparently he went around and headshot at all these people shooting from the hip when the guy wasn't even a good shot. He was just a kid, but they pinned it on him. And so he's been in jail ever since, or he's been locked away ever since and gone mad virtually because they let him hold the... And the reason I'm mentioning it, because what the result of that was, all guns were banned in Australia. So it means to an end. So I'm saying that these things happen where it's cause and effect all over the place. So Sandy Hook's another one about the guns, same sort of thing. They use that one all the time because it's sort of, as they say, if they get the guns off the public, once they dumb you down, you can't fight back. You've got no way to fight back physically. That's why the Americans have that amendment which says they can be armed, because they don't want the government to come after them if they're unarmed. And that's why people like Mao Zedong, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin said, you rule with the barrel of a gun. That's how you do it. So that's the black and white of it, really. If you want to look at cause and effect of things, that's what these sort of tyrants expect. They get to the point where, well, I've got a big gun and you'll just do as you're told, or else. Very simple, people. It's been going on since time memorial. Like we're talking even in the cavemen with his big bone. Oh, I've got a bigger bone club than you. It's really no different than that, people. Or whatever the circumstance, that's what it comes. That's the raw situation when it comes down to it, when people face off. So anyway, speaking about facing off, in Alex Jones's New World Order War, the game is absolute. I don't really want to give too many spoilers out, but you've got to just go and look at it. You don't have to play it. I mean, I don't expect anyone to play these sort of things. But I put a link in there, says Alex Jones made a video game. It's on YouTube. So someone reviewed it, called Asmongold. He's like he's a big streamer on, I think it's on Twitch. And he's like, I think it's Dark Souls, all those sort of World of Warcraft, all that. So he's in there. And so he's very well known in that community. He reviewed the game. He actually played it while he was reviewing it, which I thought was a scream. So it's based on like the Super Mario, you know, all those sort of games, those arcadey, platformy type things. But it's really good. I watched it. The only problem with Asmund is he swears a lot. So if you don't want to cop a lot of the profanities, don't watch it. But if you want to see how the game is played, you can see it's actually not a bad game. But this is the funny part. It's the content. I don't want to reveal too much because people might actually want to go out and spend $17 US and buy the game. But what it is, it's got all the bosses, and they're like the big characters in games that are very hard to kill. So they call them bosses because they're usually huge and you're really little. You've got the tiny machine gun or whatever you got, and you just keep hammering them while you're getting attacked by other things and trying to take down the big boss. So there's many bosses in this, as you can expect, but it's who they are that's really funny. I'll just say a couple. I'll let you go and look at it to guess who might be in the game, but I'll just say a couple because obviously the first one is Bill Gates. And I laughed so hard when I saw it because I thought, if anything, you've got Alex, and he's always wanted to be that cartoon character to go out and take out the globalists. Well, that's what he sort of does, as long as you know how to play the game. Because believe me, there's a lot of things stopping you from getting to the next section. You've got professors running at your doctors with giant syringes trying to inject the coronavirus vaccine into you. That's funny. You've got the bats, the COVID bats coming at you. You've got the gay frogs. This is where he was going on about they put something in the water and all the frogs are turning gay. It's a very funny clip if you can find it on YouTube that someone's put together. It's very, very funny. But in this, he joins the humour and he puts the frogs in there that shoot these like rainbow balls at you. It's really funny, people. But there's so many other things. I don't want to reveal too many, but I'll just say something like the Clintons, and I won't leave it at that. But they're all in there, people, and they're all bosses. It's very, very funny. And you've got Alex screaming, global warming is a hoax, and all that sort of thing. But it's funny. I mean, he's got a sense of humor about this, okay? It's a bit like the other guy I said that's on the site. I haven't looked at his site for a while. We're talking about the Vinnie Eastwood show. I mean, even at the top of Vinnie's site, it says, in a world so mad, you have to laugh about it or you'll go friggin' nuts. And there's another one he says too. He's got good sayings, this guy, but he's, you know, he's like a muso as well. He's a bit of a creative guy. He wants some, but he got sent to jail, people. They jailed him for protesting against the COVID vaccine in New Zealand. So, you know, he took it very bad. I mean, he wasn't in jail very long, but it's enough to realize that this is real. You know, this is when Jacinda Ardern was in. Another one that's done a runner. I mean, this is what's on his site. This is hilarious. He's got in his biography of Vinnie Eastwood, it says, and the site's called thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. It says, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and hermaphrodites. That's already funny. My fellow slaves of the global plantation, the Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? And it's got the Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists is Vinnie's jokes. So I just think he's brilliant. He's a great host, and he's on the side. I'll keep him there as long as he lets me keep him there. So it's all good. But I did want to mention, too, about people that have done a run-up. And I know I've been harping on for probably more than 12 months about trying to do an update on the COVID class 19. This is all the people who have joined the COVID to push it, all the minions of the globalists to push it, and the Australian side of it. So really, that's what I wanted to focus on, and how many of them have all jumped ship. There are so many of them that are gone, people. There's hardly any of them left. They've all got their bags of gold and moved on. So what I was waiting for, and this is why I've stalled it, people. I did stall it for a reason, knowing they were all going to do runners, because you knew they would. And the reason they are is because most of them get death threats, because everyone is on to what they're doing. You can't get away with stuff like that, with your face being flashed on the television night after night, pointing the finger at you and thinking you can get away with it after everyone realised it was a hoax. They're going to get you. So they've all done runners, just about all of them. There's not many left. Even Dangerous Dan in Victoria is long gone. But they're not forgotten. I'll tell you that now. They're not forgotten. So I just did a very quick search before the podcast just to see where some of them are. And that's why I stalled doing it, because I want to see what jobs they get, to see if they've been rewarded for such great work in those 3 years of hell where they've killed a lot of people. Because they have. That's exactly what it was designed to do. And it was also designed to bring in the QR coding with the phones. So you bank on your phones and you do your digital ID eventually on the phone. Okay, so that's their connection between you and the globalists, will be the device that you're holding in your hand. That's how they're going to communicate to you. That's what it's for, and that's what it's become. Anyway, so without much ado, I will go through a list of only five of them at the moment. All right, I don't want to get too caught up in it because I don't want to reveal too much. But it's just a tidbit, you could say. And when I put the class of COVID-19 together, you'll be able to see over the 3 years what all these people have become, where they've moved on, and you can see the trail of death they've left behind them and how it will continue and how they'll continue to promote it and say it was a good thing. Even on the news now, they're going on about COVID again. I'll see if I can get that story before I reveal what some of the minions got up to. One sec. I mean, here's a story I just grabbed off Yahoo News. So it's au.news.au.com. It says, new COVID wave sweeps Australia. Should you be concerned? It's got experts, always experts, people, have weighed in on the new rise in infections as we approach the Christmas period. Of course, you know, because we're going into summer, but this is a flu. But that's beside the point. It says, Australia is experiencing a new wave of COVID as cases once again continue to rise. Did you know about this, people? All states and territories have seen a rise in infections in the number of hospitalizations, and that is also increasing, it says. But what does it mean for Aussies as Christmas period approaches, and should we be worried? Here we go. In the week ending 30th of October, 7,227 cases of COVID were reported across Australia, an average of 1,032 cases each day. This is up 109 cases on the week prior. The current Omicron. I forgot how to say it. It's been that long since I've mentioned it. Omicron. Well, that's what they've got written here. Omricon. Omicron. I'm going to say it. The subvariants in circulations are EG.5, which is called Iris, and BA.2.86, which is called Parola. So they're already giving them names just in case they take off. It says most cases are affecting high-risk Australians, including the elderly. Well, of course, that's why they need more shots, because it'll kill them quicker. If not, off to the euthanasia camps, because they've just legalised it across the whole of Australia. It's so obvious what's happening, people, but no one will see it that way. So it says, well, here it says, should you be worried? For the vast majority of Australians, the new wave is nothing to worry about. Professor Easterman, oh, there's a new name, an expert in epidemiology at the University of South Australia, who told Yahoo News Australia. It says, however, high-risk individuals should take extra care and consider another booster. There are currently over 200 active outbreaks in residential aged care homes across Australia. That's who they want to wipe out. It was always designed to take out the disabled, Anyone that was sort of immunocompromised, that's who they wanted to target. That's what the whole idea of the COVID was, to wipe out the useless eaters, a lot of the elderly people. That's who they want to get. Because once they're gone, all their assets have gone up to the next lot, or they've just the assets get sold off. In other words, it becomes a dead end. In other words, instead of people living to 80 and 90 and living in their house and on the pension, it cuts them off, and then the kids get all the stuff. So they're not gonna go, well, you know, let's keep them alive. No, they're gonna go the other way, people. They're gonna want their stuff quicker because they're not gonna be able to buy a house. This is what's happening. There are a lot of them becoming homeless. They can't even find rental accommodation. It's getting to the point where they're gonna start staring at their well-to-do elderly parents or grandparents and start eyeing off their properties, because that's how dangerous, because that's what they're getting taught to do. That's the whole point. Oh, you've got no chance unless you get that stuff. And they're going to push them into the euthanasia things. It's going to be very dangerous. The family units are absolutely destroyed now, people. There's not much of it around at all anymore. And they did that on purpose. That was so you have no one to help you, you see. So, you know, this is who they've been targeting all along, was the elderly, especially in the aged care homes. They just want to get rid of them and start again. And then they'll start on the babies. They don't want any more people. So that's been the target, 20 million plus already through the COVID. But, you know, again, that's not the billions they want. That's what they'll get that from total control, and they need everyone to sign up to the New World Order, and then they'll move on that. And people will go with it. People will say, well, you know, maybe it's my time. You know, they'll be coaxed into it, especially by their own family. So, you know, the medical establishment's meant to break down too, so they can't help you. This is another thing. Very interesting concept, and it looks like they're copying Brave New World. Go and watch the 1980 movie, people, like I told you last week. When you watch that, your eyes will open. You'll go, what is this? Don't worry about the acting or even the props and all that. Think about what's happening in it, and then think about what's happening now. Anyway, so reading on, it says, Professor Bennett. So I'm just wondering who Professor Bennett is. Oh, it's got to be Catherine Bennett. See, she's one of the pushers, one of the big pushers back in the day, but it's not saying her name. It just goes on to say, Professor Bennett says to remember, we've been here before. With each wave, our population level immunity is helping us get through that wave in a safer way than in the previous wave. And that's like, what? Doesn't work. The vaccine doesn't work. She said, but we still have to remember that people can become very unwell and we're still losing lives. Well, she's probably smiling while she's saying that. And it says, as for lockdowns and border restrictions, we've seen previously, we shouldn't be worried, says Dr. Paul Griffin, another one, the Director of Infectious Diseases at the Mater Health in Brisbane. The message we should get out there is for people is that the virus will continue to change, he said, adding it's not going anywhere. I mean, this is what I'm saying. It never went away. Everyone's gone, oh, let's forget about it now. It's still happening, people. And it says, what caused the new wave? This is already funny. The reason for this wave is very similar to what we've seen previously, and that is we've seen another significant change in the virus. He just answered himself. Dr. Griffin said, each time the virus changes, the protection that we had from the past infection, which we didn't have, and vaccination declines and allows the virus to transmit more readily. No, it was already transmitting, regardless of any vaccine. Everyone knows that now. So these people can keep talking to themselves, but most people have got the hand up, and they just want them to talk to the hand because they're not listening anymore. So there it is there. Professor Catherine Bennett, the chair of epidemiology at the Deakin University, agreed and told Yahoo, you want to see a picture of her too, people, a new wave was expected, mostly because protection from immunity or vaccination wanes over time. How about wanes instantly? It says, as for vaccinations, only a very small percentage of the population is up to date, and most people haven't had a shot in the past 6 months. I wonder why. According to Professor Easterman, for most Australians, it doesn't really matter. They're not going, what does it say? There's not really a huge risk, he told Yahoo. But for the elderly, they're the targets people, that's the over 65s, only 40% are up to date with their vaccination, and that is a worry. It's just, whether you get the vaccination or not, it's going to knock you out. That's the whole point of it. That's why it was introduced, you know? So it says, so what's next? Do I need another booster? It says, you know what they're going to say to these people. It says, that's a question a lot of people are asking at the moment. Really? It says, for people who are particularly vulnerable, if they haven't had their second booster, they're up to five people. Now is the time to think about it, because it will give you your best protection. Well, actually, that is how it works. They used to get three shots, then they get the booster and the next booster. So that's five shots. So that'd be the fourth shot, I'd say. And this is what Professor Bennett said. She just loves talking about the jab, and you should see her face light up when she does. It says, Dr. Griffin encourages simple hygiene practices, really, which are still effective, including, wait for it, people, you knew it, mask wearing, social distancing, hand hygiene, and ventilation. And it says, and finally, we should be telling our elderly people, or any high-risk individual, to protect themselves when they go out by wearing a good quality face mask and breathing in that carbon dioxide. That should give you a healthy outlook on life. And it says, plus, if you're feeling unwell, especially if you've got any respiratory symptoms, stay at home in the middle of summer. It's just, and of course, they show a bunch of people wearing masks because, you know, that's the thing. And then it's got, now this is interesting because this is the new crew that have taken over from the old crew, and I'll mention some of them in a minute, that have done runners. And it's got the New South Wales Health Director of Communicable Diseases, Christine Selvey, so I don't know that one, told the ABC News, nobody has a crystal ball. Well, the globalists do, people, but they don't need a crystal ball. It's more like a palantir where they can just see what the other globalists are doing. It says, nobody has a crystal ball, but the modelling that we do have suggests that the increase will continue up through and into December. Now, there's a reason for this too, why they're putting the scare on people, and I'll tell you in a sec. It all runs in lockstep. If you remember when it started in China and everyone sort of ignored it, they said, oh, something's happening. And then in Australia, the only reason we even took notice is because a ship pulled up called the Diamond Princess, and everyone went, what's wrong with the ship? Well, apparently it's got this new virus. Well, don't let them on board. Don't let them off the ship. And that's exactly what happened. And they all had to stay on this ship while they were, you know, told that they had this new virus that attacked them. Remember, that was the first port of call, excuse the pun. But that's what happened. And back in China, you saw people falling off their bicycles, leaning up against poles, then falling over dead. And that was the foaming at the mouth. That's the indicator we got. And that's when people went into panic mode. Perfect timing for bringing on the biggest hoax in history. What are they trying to imitate? The Black Death, or what was the other one? The Spanish flu. It didn't happen, did it, people? But it did bring in the QR coding, and people are baying and pointing the finger at the people that didn't. It really did show how the world really works. And you knew who your friends were during that that time. And the time's not over, but apparently it is. So reading on, it's got New South Wales Health Director of Communicable Diseases, Christine Selvey, told the ABC News, nobody has a crystal ball, but the modelling we do have suggests that the increase will continue up through and into December. Dr. Paul Griffin, the Director of Infectious Diseases at the Mater Health in Brisbane, said, we should be striving for good control over this virus that isn't going to go away, even though it keeps mutating and there's nothing you can do about it. So, and this is even funnier. I'm just looking at it now, and he's back, people. Tim Flatulence has made a resurgence. And you're going, who's Tim Flatulence? Tim Flannery, years ago, they used to say, he was in the... I think it was the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. I think that's the guy that was sacked and shown the door by former Prime Minister Tony Abbott. Because, you know, they were telling you the hot air, all the dams were going to dry up. This is back in 2006-07. All the dams would dry up and there'll be no water because the climate change is coming. And you think, what's that got to do with this story? Oh, I just saw this, people. I didn't even know that was there. It just popped up and it's got... Climate change could impact supply lines more than COVID-19. The Climate Council's Professor Tim Flannery spoke with Yahoo News Australia about it. So in other words, they're using the COVID-19 thing as a comparison for Mr. Tim Flatulence to have another shot at it. And actually, that was the end of the article. But this, now, actually, there is a link to another Yahoo story, and I'm just going to grab that one because it's related to what I'm about to talk about. And let's see if we can get a better one out of that. Because, yeah, this is actually probably a better story than the other one I was going to talk about. And you're going, what are you going to talk about? Well, I'll mention it. On au.news.yahoo.com, it says China's mystery respiratory illness. I just had to pause then. It says, what do we know so far? I'm serious. It's coming again. From guess where? China. Having another go at it. And it's got 27th of November 2023. And it says, a rise in a respiratory illness across China has been caused by the flu and other known pathogens and not by a new virus, officials have insisted. Now, remember when COVID first started in China and the WHO said, what is this disease? What is it doing? And China said, no, it's fine. And then the WHO said, oh, apparently it's okay. And then we got hit hard. And that was like December 2019. And then by March 2020, everyone was running around and across the world with masks on, screaming, we're all going to die, the sky is falling. And here they are going again, telling you, no, this recent thing, it's nothing to worry about. I'll read on. It says, the recent surge in respiratory infections drew the attention last week of the World Health Organization in cohorts, which requested that China provide more information about the rise, even though they still haven't provided how COVID started in Wuhan. No, they won't tell you about that because, you know, and if you do ask, like Scott Morrison, the former prime minister, asked China, well, you'll have to go through sanctions. That's exactly what happened. And then Albanese had to suffer the same thing, the current prime minister. That's what's happening. So you can't ask them about what happened. But anyway, let's just see what the WHO got out of them. It says, but a spokesman for China's National Health Commission said on Sunday that the increase is being caused by a common virus such as influenza, rhinoviruses, respiratory, it looks like, sinusitis virus, which is RSV, so let's just leave it at that. Oh, yeah, the respiratory sinusitis. Sinusitical, that might be the word. People out there are screaming at me already saying, please say it properly, but I can't. S-Y-N-C-Y-T-I-A-L. That's the RSV, everyone knows what that is. And the adenovirus, as well as bacteria such as the Mycoplasma a pneumonia-type name, but I'll just spell it. And people out there that know how to say this can say it much better than me. P-N-E-U-M-O-N-I-A-E. And then it says, not by a novel virus. A novel virus, they're saying. So China's saying, no, nothing to see here. Seriously, everyone's coming down with this unusual respiratory thing. Nah, it's just a flu. It's not a big deal. So reading on, it says, however, I like the however, the health ministry did call on local authorities to increase the number of fever clinics as China grapples with a surge in its first full winter since easing COVID-19 restrictions. It says efforts should be made to increase the opening of relevant clinics and treatment areas to extend service hours and increase the supply of medicines, said ministry spokesman Mi Feng. Last week, ProMed, a global information network that monitors global disease outbreaks and was one of the first groups to raise the alarm about coronavirus in 2019, really, said hospitals in China were being overwhelmed. It's probably driven by fear. Says both the UK and the US saw a spike in respiratory illnesses among children after lockdown restrictions were lifted from the population as years of suppressed circulation hit all at once. I don't believe that. I mean, that's just fallacy. They are tying that in with something that's coming. And that to me sounds more probable. But they want you to put your guard down and go, oh, it's just a flu. And I was saying it was a flu from day one and they said, no, it isn't. So now they're saying it's a flu again. And then eventually they'll say, oh, hang on, we were wrong again. And bingo, in comes all the restrictions and we go through phase two because Bill Gates did say, people, and he did say it. He said, there's another pandemic coming and it's going, and you will notice it. He said, and he was smiling. Him and the ex-wife were grinning at each other. It's a clip that's well worn on the internet. Everyone's seen it. And that's what he's saying. The next pandemic will 100% be noticed more. And I thought, yeah, he really needs to go away. Go and watch the Alex Jones game where he gets taken out. It's such a good thing. It's a good thing to see Bill go down. Now, it says here, and the story is continuing. I don't know if I want to keep reading the story because it does go on. I'm just seeing how long it goes for. Okay, I'll get through it. It's a little bit long. I'll put it up. It's worth reading, but we'll come back and we'll look at it. We don't need a crystal ball to see what's going to happen. You do need to go back in the past and look at what happened at the beginning of the pandemic and how they, the prostitute media wound it all up. You do need to see how that snowball started because that's how they did it. It was all propaganda, people. So it says, When did the outbreak start? Here we go again. I better not be Wuhan people. I won't believe them. It says, since mid-October, the WHO said northern China had reported an increase in influenza-like illness compared with the same period in the previous 3 years. It said China. Because remember, it was full-blown worldwide in December 2019, and then by 2020, it was already everywhere. They're saying mid-October. And that's exactly when Bill Gates, back in 2019, October, did his games. These are the mock outbreak worldwide. He actually did it. It was called Event 201, which is funny because if you just put a 9 on the end, it's Event 2019, which is exactly what happened. And he did a global, get them all here and I'll tell them what we can do. But it was a mock-up. You know, like, oh, just let's pretend there's a pandemic. And then it came. Well, they're saying the same period now is when this thing's taking off slowly. So you're thinking, oh, they're not trying to do it again, are they? They're going to run those videos, the same ones they did in 2019, people falling over, foaming at the mouth, all that sort of stuff. No one's going to believe it. But anyway, or some might. It said China had systems in place to capture information on trends in illnesses, incidents, and to report the data to platforms such as the Global Influenza Surveillance and Response System. I think I might have to look that up. I've never heard of it. The Global Influenza Surveillance Response System. I think that stands for GIS. What is it? GIS. That's GISRS. GISRS. Yeah, they'll probably call it that. They like to give them names and shorten the words. It says in October, the China Daily published an interview with, looks like Zhao, I can't pronounce it. I'm not going to try. It's Huixia. A director at a children's medical center who said infections had been rising all year, but there had been a particularly ferocious spike last month. And it says, what's been happening recently? In recent days, media in cities such as, it looks like Xiang in the northwest, have posted videos of hospitals crowded. Here we go again. See, I told you people, with parents and children awaiting checks. Some social media users have posted photos of children doing homework while receiving intravenous drips in hospital. Getting ridiculous, people. It says, and what has the WHO said? It says, last week, the WHO said groups including the Program for Monitoring Emerging Diseases reported clusters of undiagnosed pneumonia in children in northern China. The WHO, who never usually gets access, but for some reason is now, said it was not clear if these were associated with an overall increase in respiratory infections previously reported by Chinese authorities or separate events. This is the WHO said it had asked for additional epidemiological, it's a hard one to say off the bat, people, epidemiological, one more shot at it, the it's epidemiological, I'm not trying anymore, and it says, and clinical information as well as laboratory results from the reported outbreaks among children through the International Health Regulations Mechanism. It says on Monday, the WHO said the spike in respiratory illnesses that China is currently suffering is not as high as before the COVID-19 pandemic. You really trust them, people. Reiterating that no new or unusual pathogens have been found in recent cases. Well, the Chinese have told them that, is they? Or they just taken them? Yeah, so we'll see. So there was another one that came out before that that says, I'll just see if I can find it. This is the one. It's a YouTube, so I'm not going to go into it, but it might have a short note. So it's on COVID-19. It's, what is it? It's got the WHO is pressing China for details on spiking cases of a new virus. Now, that is from the ABC News on YouTube. And it's got here, now, it doesn't really have much in the comments. I mean, in the actual details, but it's got comments, and I'm dying to read the comments, people. It's got 108,000 views from November the 25th, 2023. The World Health Organization is asking Beijing for more details for the spike on respiratory illnesses and clusters of pneumonia in children. Let's go to the comments. 650 comments. It says, someone needs to question these frequent outbreaks from the same one country all the time. That's already funny. Oh, these comments are great, people. This is another one. Come on, guys. Season 2 is going to be amazing. I mean, this is just, I'm just going through. This is really bad. It says, and here's another one. My Asian doctor suddenly wearing his mask in the office again says it all. And another one here. Anthony Fauci must be ecstatic hearing the news. Now, this is an interesting comment. It says, as a repeat of the end of 2019, if this is something serious, commenter says they expect February, March for another pandemic shutdown. So that's actually very interesting, because that could time in with an economic collapse. You've got two wars going. They need to do everything at once to get people to actually believe in Agenda 21/30, which is the climate change hoax. They're going to throw it all in and just see what they get. I sort of think that's coming. With the gold going up, bankruptcy's going through the roof, it's sort of showing the signs in Australia anyway. Anyway, before I read on about the rats of Oz, the ones that jumped ship during COVID, got their bags of gold and scurried away into the sunset, I'll just read up some of the latest COVID news and then get into the name and shaming. But I will definitely put up the big chart. I mean, it's going to be massive and it'll probably get me sued, but it won't be, it'll all be the truth. So, I mean, if they want to challenge the truth, that's fine. So it says, this is from abc.net.au. It says the latest COVID-19 news and case numbers from around the states and territories. So, you know, I've read this out before, but this is from about a month ago. They haven't had an update. So it's the 21st of October, 2023. So we're just doing a little update. That's all we're doing. It's not a big deal. It's not going to change anything, but it just gets you, lets you know what the government is trying to tell you that is happening with it. So it's got, here's a quick wrap-up of the COVID-19 news and case numbers from each Australian jurisdiction for the past week, as reported on Friday, October the 20th, 2023. So I'll go through them slowly. I don't want to go, because, you know, this is all the death, because remember, nobody's reporting anything. No one's doing the rat tests, because we're rats, of course. No one's doing that anymore, because they're getting ready for summer. In Australia, we're getting ready for holiday season. Nobody cares about that. But they're going to try and dampen the holiday spirit, as it will, by telling you the gruesome up-to-date news. So it's got Australian Capital Territory. There were 298 new COVID-19 cases. The territory had 18 people in hospital with no new deaths recorded. So everyone goes, oh, thumbs up. That's good. That's good. Yeah, it does sound good. Remember, there's no reporting. But still, they've got to give you the figures as they're less, so it looks like it's winning. You know, the vaccine is winning. So it says New South Wales. The state has recorded 1,541 new COVID cases, up from last week's total of 1,300. There are 702 cases in hospital with the virus, 12 intensive care, and there were 19 new deaths. So there you go, in 1 week, that's all right. That's not that bad, is it, people? As long as it's not you or anyone you know, it's all good. Now it's got Northern Territory. The Territory updates its COVID-19 data fortnightly. There was 191 new cases recorded, and it says the Northern Territory... I'll do that slowly. The Northern Territory currently has 4 patients in hospital. So not really happening up there. Well, it's a flu. It's hot up there. You see, they don't get the flu much. The Northern Territory has recorded 111 deaths since the start of the pandemic. That's it. It says the next COVID-19 update will be expected on October the 27th. Where? I don't have it. So maybe I need to update. Either or, people, what they're doing here is, because there's no reporting, they're just going to report on whatever they've got. But it's always going to make it look like they're doing better. You understand? That's because people think it's over. We're post-COVID now. Nobody's dying. It's all good. It's just another thing to die of, like influenza or something. It's just part of the landscape now. Of course, they're not going to name it that. This thing is going to lower your immune system, especially the vaccine, and you're going to be susceptible to anything now. So when you do have something unusual happen to, well, it couldn't possibly be the shot or COVID itself. No, because it's not around anymore. According to what I'm reading off, nobody's dying and it's all good, apart from New South Wales and maybe Queensland. Let's have a look at Queensland's. Queensland's new COVID-19 reporting process now works on a 7-day rolling average system. It says we have 107 average daily cases an average of 97 the previous week. So, yeah, 100 people a week getting it. 71 patients in hospital with the virus, one in intensive care. There was an average of zero deaths. So there again, it's working, people. Look, what do you need a shot for? It's all working, apparently. Then you get to South Australia. See, I've got to read this off because this is the government mouthpiece. You've got to read off what they're trying to tell the public about anything. So it says the state recorded 862 COVID cases in the week of October the 18th. It says it has 30 patients in hospital, three in intensive care, no new deaths. So this is like, wow, how come there's no deaths in some of these smaller states? Well, that's why, because they're smaller states. Now we move into Tasmania. There's been 355 new COVID cases recorded in Tasmania, up from 299 cases last week. So that's pretty much the same. It says there were 13 people admitted to the hospital, and it says Tasmania has recorded 314 deaths since 2020. So, you know, not a big deal in Australia. We, you know, but just bear in mind, people, okay, 20,000 deaths. Bear in mind that China, with 3 billion people, whatever it is, 5 or 6,000 deaths. Try and work that out, where the virus actually came from. And yet we have, you know, three times as many deaths in such a small population. In one Chinese city, there can be 20 million people. So something's not adding up, is it, people? I mean, everyone gets it. The statistics are not really there to make you feel better. And that's why I'm reading these out, because they're trying to get you to think it's gone away. But then I'll get to the headlines, and then we'll look at the rats that did runners, okay? So it's got Victoria. And remember, there's more people in Victoria, so I expect that to be higher than the other states, apart from, say, New South Wales. So just scrolling to it, it says, okay. Oh, actually, we've got Western Australia. I almost forgot about it. Victoria. Victoria's new COVID-19 reporting process now works on a 7-day rolling average system. And it says the state has received 173 average daily cases as of October the 17th, up on average of 145 the previous week. It says 179 patients are in hospital with the virus, 8 in intensive care. The state has a 7-day rolling average of 4 new deaths. So that's not bad for Victoria. Now that Dangerous Dan has left the building, you're starting to think, well, hang on, maybe it has gone away. It says Western Australia recorded 212 new COVID-19 cases, and it says there were 23 people in hospital, one in intensive care, and there were 6 new deaths recorded. So this is all the stuff that people are reporting for the ABC to tell the public. Whereas in the heat of the pandemic, it was the sky's falling. You couldn't get on top of the stats. So we're just like nuts. It was all over the place. But when the dust settles, people, 20,000 deaths. And I said less than 5,000 or 6,000 in China. So something's wrong with the statistics. That's why I'm reading them out now. So that you can see that the press tube media is designed to sway your opinion one way or the other. In the case of the pandemic, get the shot and QR code. That were the two main prerequisites to do in the COVID-19 pandemic. And of course, being restricted to travel. But that's to do with the fact that you are contagious. But of course, if you had the vaccine, you weren't, even though you were. This is all the mumbo jumbo that they told you in the beginning to get people to social distance, all this stuff. But if you had the jab, you're fine. And then they proved that you were not. And that's where we're at now. So you can still catch it. But they're saying, but if you had the shots, you won't die from it. Yet people are dying around us all the time, but we're not hearing that it's COVID. You understand? There are more younger people dying of whatevers, blood clots, heart attacks. Have a look at all the celebrities are popping off at the moment. And then you're going to start thinking, well, that's why you hear about them, because they're reported. But the average person is not. So until we get full truthful statistics about how many people have actually died in Australia over the 3-year period and even beyond. You know, the vaccines and that, and even COVID itself, it's not about dying instantly. This is a long-term slow kill. That's what it is, okay? That's why it's been introduced. But it's also, in my opinion, now that the smoke has settled, to me, it was really about getting the QR code worldwide ready for a central bank digital currency. That the fourth industrial revolution. I honestly believe that was the actual push. Just like you've got Israel, Hamas, and you find out later that Israel is going to go for the gas. You know, it's not the Gaza gap. It's the Gaza what's it called again? The Gaza Strip. It'll be the Gaza Strip, because that's what it's going to be. And you wait and see. They want that gas in 2024. So it's got to happen. So we'll just see if they can pull it off, because there's all these other countries, the US, all there waiting their turn to get a cut of that. It's billions of dollars off the coast of Gaza in the ocean, just off there. And it's actually in the Palestinian waters. But because it's not a Palestinian state, Israel's had them in court for a decade, saying, no, you can't have it. And so this is what's happening now. So you can see that the door was left swinging open for Hamas to go in and kill those Israelis, collateral damage, and now you can see what's happening. That's that. So you've got to understand that they always do something, and then there's a flow-on effect. In the case of COVID, it's the QR code. It's the digital ID. It's the new system they want to put in place, because then they can knock people off easily, because people will not stick up for other people when they realize they're on their own. That's what's coming. When you get your digital ID, that's it. That's your ID. That's for you, no one else. So you're not aligned to anyone. It's a bit like when you get a bank, not a bank card, a credit card or a debit card, and it says, please don't show your PIN number to any other person. So that means you have now got a secret from everybody if you want to go online and do banking. But that's how it is. I mean, we've grown up with cameras in our face and secrets like that. And, you know, this is the thing. We trust the banks. Isn't that funny? We trust the people we don't even know more than the people around us, because we want to make sure, you know, we keep that secret from them. They can't have our PIN number. That's mine. No, it's my digital ID. You go away. You know, anyway, we've been designed over the last 20 years to think like that. And a lot of people do. Anyway, this next story is from the Daily Mail. .co.uk, and it's got 8th COVID wave strikes Australia. And it's got Chief Medical Officer Paul Kelly reassures strain is less severe than predecessors. So these are the new crew. Like, Paul Kelly got the top job, Dr. Paul Kelly, and off went Brendan Murphy and all the others, the Chief Medical Officer. They give them all these titles. And they've all done runners. So they've left a few of them behind, like Dr. Catherine Bennett, the one I spoke about earlier, and a couple of other ones. Still floating around, Dr. Chark, I think it's Kerry Chant, another one. You see them, but they're all gone. They have actually all done runners, people. It's just amazing to see that right at the end there, they all did runners, and most of them got death threats. That's why they went, because people realised the con, the hoax, and what they did to people. And people actually died because of their what they told people they had to do. There was lots of people that actually died in the aged care centres. It's one of the most horrendous things ever happened. It's not, you can't put it on par with the Black Death or the Spanish flu, because a lot of people say that stuff just happened, okay? This is one that's been planned. This is different, okay? This is where they knew it was premeditated. Whether a lot of these medical professionals knew and were part of the plot is beside the point. They followed orders, and if we're questioning it, and we're not the ones that are running the whole thing, if we're questioning, we don't even have the we're not even experts. If these people can't see what we're talking about, they are definitely following orders. Okay, that's why you've got doctors now speaking up against it. These are not conspiracy theorist people. They're just people that have questions. And so if you've got these attack dogs guarding the health department and not letting anyone get through, then you know they've been told. You know. And these are the ones that have done the runner, because they knew what they were doing. So it says here, reading what one of these poor ones that have been left behind. I'm talking about Dr. Paul Kelly, because he's going to cop it. As this if the next wave comes, he's the next one in line to get the finger point of that, you see. So, you know, and I've always said it's not the minions. You know, we keep looking at the minions and we're not looking at the actual controllers that are bringing this about, okay? So that needs to really be looked at too. It is the richest billionaires on the planet. It has to be, because most of them want to say in what happens in the planet. Now, remember, a lot of them got rich because of people buying their products, okay? People like Bill Gates. They got rich because people wanted the products they had. And then they lost their way, because then he thought he was like a god. Even George Soros, the businessman, said, you know, it's tough being God. These people get, they move completely away from humanity, and they become like almost a separate species, where they think we are not worthy of what we see around us, and they want us gone. And that's where they're at now. In the earlier days, they still had the same way of thinking, but they needed us to buy their stuff so that they could accumulate the wealth to get the power. Okay? Doesn't change the way they think, but. Anyway, so it says here, Australia's top doctor. There he is. He's the top doctor now, people. As warned, Australia is in the grips of its third COVID wave. I wonder what the second one was. It must have been a little tiny little wisp of an air just gone past. We didn't see it. It says, in grips of the third COVID wave this year with cases rising across the country. It's I just read them out, people. I just read it out. I read out what it was, and that was only, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago. So it must have changed since the last time they did a reading of the deaths and the hospitalisation. So here comes the fear. So I'm going to read the fear straight from this article. It says, the revelation comes less than 2 weeks after Chief Medical Officer Professor Paul Kelly announced the end of the COVID emergency response on October the 20th. So there you go. That was the end. The article I read out from the ABC was a week after that, saying that everything's fine, it's not a big deal. Then this happens. The virus, it says, is still considered to be a serious threat. But Professor Kelly admitted the new strains appear to be less severe than their predecessors. What it is, what's less severe is people themselves. They don't care. You know, it's like they're not into the fear anymore. They're not going to play with it anymore. They're not going to do the mask wearing and the running around. They're not doing it. There are still people doing it, right? But it's not a majority anymore, okay? In fact, every time I see someone with a mask, I just point and go, oh, look, someone with a mask. Normally, in the past, 3 years ago, I was like, oh, look, someone without a mask. How dare they? That's what people would say. I'm serious. We've come out of this and we've forgotten what we just went through. So it says, Professor Kelly also said Australians were better protected after building up their immunity through vaccinations and previous infections. Now, I like how he put the vaccination there because they don't work. Previous infections, if you hadn't been vaccinated, yes, because your body built up natural immunity, which is the thing they avoided. They wouldn't let you take ivermectin and they wouldn't let your natural immune system stand up to the virus because they knew that if you took the vaccine, you're hooked. You're in their little game. And you've got to keep taking the boosters, keep doing as you're told, keep wearing the mask and still keep having the fear. Okay? Whereas I didn't get the jab. I copped the virus once and I did get it. I'm not going to say I don't know what it was, the COVID thing, whatever you want to call it. Whatever it was, it's something I've never had before. And it was a really severe fever for about 3 days. Then it was gone. And I have never had anything since. Okay, just the odd sniffle or just the usual thing I've always had every time it's winter or every time whatever it is. Nothing as crazy as what they said was going to happen to us in that 3 years. Okay, but everyone else did as they were told. They ran out, they got the shots, they shook in their boots and they waited for the prostitute media and the health department to tell you everything is fine. But you know what? Out of the 80% they had that time, they're lucky if they got 50% this time. This is the difference. Anyway, so it says, just reading on, it says, as expected, Australia is in another COVID-19 wave, wait for it, linked to the XBB Omicron. I tell you, say it, I've seen it before wrong. Omicron subvariant, Professor Kelly said. So they give them these stupid names, people. They give you a tiny picture of a round circle with all bumps coming off it, and they go, there it is. There it is. It can actually go through a mask as well, by the way, people. Of course, you need a proper respiratory mask. The cloth things, you might as well put a pair of undies on your head. It's not going to work, people. So it says, the current surge is at least the eighth Australia's face. Have you been counting these people? The boosters might be up to eight, but I didn't know there was a surge that was up to eight. Anyway, it says, there have been hundreds of subvariants of Omicron. Oh, gee, we've just been bombarded, people. We just didn't know it until they told us. So it says each of the waves we've had this year have been less and less severe. So wait till I get to the next one, people. It's a pneumonia one this time, people. They've been working in the lab hard as hell trying to get ready for the next one. Bill Gates rubbing his hands together. I wonder if Fauci had something to do with the next one as well, people. Who knows? Anyway, reading on, it says, there's still a possibility that we could have a brand new variant of concern, but When we look at what's happened since late 2021, when Omicron came into being, it says we've had literally hundreds of subvariants of Omicron, but nothing's really pushed ahead in a different way. Probably got a sad face when he said that. Professor Kelly said Australia would face many more waves of COVID in the future. He's just waving his COVID wand in front of us. We can expect continuing waves of infections across the next few years. But at this stage, current and emerging variants are no more dangerous than other Omicron strains. You can imagine hearing that from a loudspeaker as you're walking up the street, people. It says, he said the focus will remain on vaccination. There you go, people. Prevention and case management rather than emergency methods. Because they don't really care if you catch it and die now. It's sort of passed. They've got it in your body now. The vaccine's there and you're just going to keep pumping it in, lowering your immune and, you know, die of other things. Perfect. Couldn't have said it better. Oh, look, I've got to read this, people. It's actually a side thing that I wasn't actually going to read, but I just saw it. I've got to read it. It says, it's got Bill Gates warns Australia to prepare for brutal man-made epidemic. Hang on, I've got to read this, people. I do want to read the rest of that article, but I did not see that. It's a pop-up on the side because it is the dailymail.co.uk. So you're going to get all the stuff like a Sky News. But I just want to see if this is actually a real thing or just an ad, because it looks a little bit susceptible. But here it is. And it is. It's actually a story. But it's January. It's the 24th of January, 2023. So did Bill know something we don't know? Because, you know, we're almost at the end of the year. I mean, come on, Bill. It says here, dailymail.co.uk, January the 24th, 2023. Bill Gates warns Australia to prepare for the next pandemic, which could be man-made and far more brutal than COVID. Oh, he really knows this stuff, doesn't he? He just looks into that crystal ball and he sees himself making the virus. It's just so criminal that people think these are the good guys. It's just unbelievable that you can get away with a story like that. Anyway, so I'll just go back and I'll just see if we can find it. The rest of the story, there it is. There it says, tech billionaire Bill Gates has warned Australia to be ready for the next pandemic, which could be man-made and far more brutal. Mr. Gates told the Lowy Institute think tank in Sydney on Monday that political leaders needed to set aside their differences and work together to prepare for the next virus. He's serious, people. He's making the next virus. He called for greater global cooperation using the COVID-19 pandemic as an example of how countries could improve their response if they work together. Well, they didn't really work together. What they did is lock down each country and say, don't come here and don't go there. That's basically what happened. So nobody really worked together. They more or less let the WHO run the world, which Gates is actually funding. So you can see why he wants you to do as you're told. And actually the WHO just got signed in to take over the next pandemic. So we're in real trouble. This is where governments have no say. It's an actual body that is involved with Bill Gates and other. And I've got to do an update on the WHO board, because I haven't looked at the executive board for at least 3 years now. And it's probably changed. There might be a few old faces in there, but the chances that they're all there is probably slim, because they've all got their bags of gold and done runners. Just like the Australian politicians, same thing. There's no difference. The whole thing was a hoax. They all got paid off. They did their part. Now they're all done runners, getting ready for the next one. This is what he's doing. I mean, if it works the first time, why do you think they won't do it again? Of course they're going to do it again. It's like trial and error. They want to see what went wrong, how they can fix it. He's dead. He's dead. He's deadly serious about this. He means what he's saying. So it says here, let's see if I can find the rest of it. It says, compare the economic cost of being prepared for the next one to the cost of this one over $10 trillion US dollars of economic loss, he said. I mean, you cannot believe it. It says, with the pandemic, we were foolish not to have the tools, the practice and global capacity to be on standby like we do with fire or earthquakes. There he goes, talking about his weather weapons now. It says, Mr. Gates praised Australia's policies in helping to keep infection rates low before vaccines were rolled out, even though it's transmissible with the vaccines anyway. So it says, some of the things that stand out are that Australia and about seven other countries did population scale diagnostics early on and had quarantine policies. He said, remember the quarantine camps? Remember, people were just shunted off into these, well, they were using hotels for a while, weren't they, people? And they just locked you away and forgot about you. This is what he thought was good. He's saying, well, it's a good thing you did that. It says, he's saying that meant you kept the level of infection low in that first year when there were no vaccines. Even though we had 20,000 deaths in 24 million people, and China, 1.3 billion or whatever, only had 5,000. I'm sorry, we did it better? He should be praising the Chinese. That's the, they're the overlords that he loves, because he wants them as the police of the world. I mean, anyway, so reading on, it says, or scrolling down, I should say, I mean, this is just amazing. I didn't know he said this back then, so I was I'm surprised I found this. It says, the Microsoft founder turned philanthropist said a stable international order based on mutual political will is needed in order to deal with future pandemics. So he wants an international order. You understand, people? That's a new world order. You understand what he's saying there? He just didn't put it in those words, but that's what it is. And he's saying, the one thing that still hangs in the balance is we will have the global capacity, and at the regional and country levels, that would mean that when an infectious disease threat comes up, we act in such a way that that it doesn't go global, Mr. Gates said. Now, these are the very people, the WHO, the very people said this is not transmissible. I don't know if you remember back to, I think it was January 2020, when China said, no, nothing to see here. And the WHO said, oh, it's not transmissible because the Chinese said so. And then bang, it went worldwide. And of course, the Chinese let all their tourists and people fly out, but they didn't let anyone fly in. So basically, they spread the disease. Plus, there was a military operation going on in Wuhan where world militaries were doing like a training session. So they would have flown out as well. Absolutely bogus, people. We're talking about a level 4 bioweapons lab that let this virus get out knowingly, and funded by the US government, knowing that it was going to spread. So what Gates is saying here is absolutely bogus. Okay? So he says, reading on, the boogeyman, we'll just read on, it says, I like this bit. We need to be doing every 5 years a comprehensive exercise at both country and regional levels of pandemic preparedness, and you need a global group that's scoring everybody. Do you get that, people? A global group, the New World Order, that wants to monitor everybody. They should put that in proper words. And he's saying every 5 years to do an exercise. That's like Event 201. They did it in October 2019. Bang, along came coronavirus. You know, Event 201 is really Event 2019. If people really want to get there, it's just bogus. I mean, the guy, this is totally premeditated. If people still think it isn't, that's fine, but you're going to have to get your 10th shot. You're going to have to wear a mask. You're going to do as you're told. Okay? Basically, you're going to have to do exactly as Bill Gates tells you. That's from birth to death. He will let you know what he wants you to do. Anyway, I'll tell you now, he's still talking, so I'll just continue his rant. Mr. Gates has promised to donate half of his fortune to good causes. So what's a good cause? Killing half the population? Let me read that again. Mr. Gates has promised to donate half of his fortune to good causes and to try and bring equality to health, energy, and education industries. This is from one of the richest people on the planet. He wants to be equal? he wants us to be equal at the bottom, okay? That's what he wants, so that we've got no power and we're not armed and we can't come and get him. That way he can wave his cardigan about and point to you and say, well, I don't need you anymore. Off you go. Reading on, it says, there is this huge failure of market capitalization to look at some of the needs of the poorest. This is the richest guy talking about the poorest. Their voice in the marketplace is very small, he said. See, what he wants to do, when he says the poor, he's talking about third world. He wants them to have the middle class jobs in the West, to bring it all down to that level. That's what he's talking about when he says that. And reading on, he says, you can literally save lives for US $1,000, and there isn't much around that should be as fulfilling as that. Well, why don't you give it all away, Bill? That's never going to happen, people. He's never going to, because he won't have any power. You see, then you won't listen to him because he hasn't got the bags of gold to hand out to bribe everyone with. So this is how you know the guy is bogus, okay? And he said, I like this part, he criticised the United States under Donald Trump's leadership, threatening to withdraw from the World Health Organization and withhold funding. That's because Trump knew that Gates was trying to be the world controller. Now, Trump's got an ego too, but he's a nationalist. He wants the US to be the great, whereas Gates wants him to be the great. Personally, he's not interested in the US or flags or religions. He's interested in himself. Okay? So it says, Mr. Gates advocated for a bolstering of resources to the international health body. Now, he wants more funding for the WHO. He wants more money pumped into an organization that really does nothing. What did it do during the pandemic, people, apart from complain to China because they wouldn't tell them how it started? That's about as much as it went. That's it. Okay, you got Dr. Tedros, his mate, running it. The Ethiopian guy has got a change.org against him because he's part of a political party there that's been called a terrorist organisation. But that's another story. I don't want to go into that. But he's still there running it for Mr. Gates. And it says, it just keeps going, people. This is so predictable. He says, Mr. Gates, I've read that. He also said US policy and by extension Australia's towards China needed a more conciliatory and cooperative political approach in tackling major problems such as climate change. So, he's talking about US policy and by extension Australia's. He wants them on their knees because of climate change and to lay off China. Yes, precisely. And wait till I get to the new virus coming from China, people. I'd like to know what Gates thinks about that one. And here he is talking about them. This is Gates talking about China. I see China's rise as a huge win for the world. The current mentality of the US to China, which is reciprocated, is kind of a lose-lose mentality. So there you go, people. Say no more. He said it. China number one. Okay? And to finish off, he says, that could be very self-fulfilling in a very negative way. He says, Mr. Gates on Saturday met with Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. Remember when he was here, people? A lot of people forgot, but that was quite a few months ago now. This is obviously back in January 2023. I think I got that Palantir, people. I'm looking into a few months into the future, but no such thing. It says, Mr. Gates on Saturday met with Prime Minister Anthony Albanese at Kirribilli House in Sydney to discuss climate change, health and energy challenges. Now, he would have slipped a nice big fat round bag of gold for Mr. Albanese to take and tell him that you must push my ideas. And that's exactly what he's probably going to be doing anyway. It's probably what he's been doing since then. He has been doing a lot of jet setting lately, Albanese, but nothing more. I mean, he's not, and that's actually the end of the article for that one, but I will save that. I'll put it up too, just so you can have a gander at it. But really, I mean, none of this stuff is rocket science. You know what these people think, people. You know, the richest guy does not care about the poorest people. I don't care what he says or how he says it. It's a means to an end for him. Okay? If the poor people can get the middle class to be dragged down, if he can get all the Indians and Chinese into the West, in Australia and that, and take all the jobs but lower their wages and then drag the middle class down to that level so that their mortgages can't be paid on their houses and they sell their house and that they own nothing and are apparently happy, then he's happy because that's what he wants to do. That's the plan. So reading on from where I left off before I went into that, look at that. I didn't even know about that. But anyway, now to pick up on that article that was about Dr. Paul Kelly warning us about the next COVID wave, but the current ones are fine. He's got targeted surveillance and monitoring of COVID will be maintained through well-established national and sentinel surveillance programs, he said. So this is the key to it. The key to understanding what COVID did was it gave a new surveillance system with QR coding. So they know exactly where you are. And people were trained to do it. Everyone did it. They did it because they thought it was the right thing to do. Well, they got their way. So it says, sentinel surveillance is a public health term that refers to monitoring changes in the rates of diseases through a network of doctors, laboratories, and public servants. It says the most recent official weekly COVID case numbers was 936, up 23.6% across the country. The biggest week-on-week increases were in Western Australia, up 43%. So you remember how I read off Western Australia, people? and how there was absolutely nothing. So if it was two people that died and a third or a fourth died or got sick, that would make 40%. That would double it. So it doesn't mean anything. You know, it's just a statistic that means nothing. We know that hardly anyone has died or catches it in Western Australia. And then it says, and the Northern Territory up 45%. Again, you see how they've done this, people? They're just telling you a percentage, but they're not telling you how many people it is. So if it's two people and it's gone up to four, that's 50%. And people are going to go, what? Well, actually, that's 100%. It's double the actual figure. Sorry, my maths isn't all there, but you can understand what I'm getting at, is that it doesn't matter about the percentage because it's about the amount of people. And they're not going to tell you that because I read it off earlier. It's nothing. It's hardly anything's happened. Even though it is still doing it, no one's reporting it, you see. So they're just throwing this stuff at you to scare you. That's what prostitute media does. It gets you prepared for the next scare, the next fear campaign. So reading on again, and this is more of the prostitute media, what they do. Remember, this is the Daily Mail. .co.uk. It's not even the prostitute media in Australia just yet. It's just a version of that publication in Australia. And it says the number of hospitalised COVID-19 cases has increased across Australia by an average of 17%. So they're just doing an average of everything. Remember, New South Wales had the highest deaths and cases. So the other states didn't matter, but they're just broad brushing it now to scare you. It says New South Wales has by far the most people in hospital, with the figure sitting at 733, which is pretty close to what we read before. GP Registrar, and here we go, different names again, people. Different people, different experts. Dr. Ashley Van Leeuwesten from the New South Wales Central Coast told Sydney Morning Herald, COVID cases have been on the rise for a month and they are being diagnosed in patients of all ages, especially older people. She said, contrary to what many people say, COVID is not gone. It's a new normal, she said. A couple of years ago, we didn't know anything about it. Now it's a big part of a lot of presentations. Really? Nobody's talking about that I know, people. In fact, I'm even surprised I'm doing a story on it. No, I'm not kidding about that. I'm kidding about that, I've said, because the Chinese thing is very serious, what's happening. You need to know about this because this is exactly how the original one started. Almost identical. It's like they're trying it on again. They've even said that there was a liner. I think it was an ocean liner coming into Australia with a different name. It wasn't Diamond Princess, but similar sounding name, and that it may have COVID cases on it. And I just went, hang on, deja vu. Haven't we already been here? And I'm thinking the Twilight Zone, people. So it says, now, reading on, the Australian Health Protection Principal Committee, backed by Mr. Kelly, he's back, people, decision to call off emergency settings. It's time to transition from emergency mode to managing COVID-19 alongside other infectious diseases, because that's what it is. Even when you get the jab, you can still transmit it, okay? Infectious disease. Now, just finishing it up, because I'm not sure how much longer this article goes for, so I haven't read this one before, I haven't previewed. Sometimes I preview them to see how long they go for, but this one, no. God, you just see a picture of this guy. He's got the Coke bottle glasses, so the eyes look huge and staring. He's almost got the John Skerrick look. This is the guy for the TGA. He had a classic evil face. This guy's sort of morphing into that, but not quite there. I think he's just a ring-in competitor looking like scary vibe, but not really doing it to me. I mean, he looks weak. He looks like he could be brushed aside at any moment. And it says, but he is the top doctor. He did get the job when everyone else left him holding the bag. He's got the empty bag because he hasn't been paid off yet, obviously. It says, COVID remains a serious infectious disease, but is no longer a public health emergency. We can expect, I think he said this before, we can expect continuing waves of infection across the next few years. But at this stage, current emergency variant poses similar. It says, I'll read that again. It says, the diction is, I mean, the grammar is very bad. It says, but at this stage, current and emergency variants pose similar risk to other circulating Omicron strains. Okay, well, that's what I thought it was going to say. It said, vaccination and other mitigation strategies are now more appropriate than an emergency response because they know they can't stop it. And they never could stop it. It was never meant to be stopped. It says, these are the targets, people. This is what I'm trying to tell you why this thing happened. It was there for QR coding, surveillance, and to kill off the older population. So it says here, Older Australians especially are urged to have a third vaccination if they have not already. Some of them are up to five or six. They just get told. If you go to hospital, they say, what, you haven't had a jab? Well, you've got to get the jab. We're not going to look at you. That happens in hospitals now, people. They won't even go near you. But anyway, it's not a good thing because it means they're still using that as an excuse to make you get jabbed. Now, reading on, it says, since the pandemic began in 2020, actually started in 2019, but they're talking about 2020 because that's when Australia copped it. Australia has had 11,793,000 cases, from which 22,885 people died. Now, you know, and I know, and I'm telling you this now, people, that right up until, I think it was 18 months ago, when the jabs started, when they started the jabs, we were plateauing at around 1,000 deaths. As soon as the jabs started, from that point onwards, we are now have 22,000 people are dead. That is a fact. I've done that so many times on the podcast. Not just me. There are plenty of other people with those statistics because they're the truth. So you think about the cold, hard facts of that. Oh, they'll say, but Omicron was just, they'll give you every excuse in the book, but that's the facts. The death rate shot vertical as soon as the jab started. Okay? That's the facts. Anyway, so, and it keeps happening. People are still dying, but they're not saying it's COVID. They're saying, oh, they had a heart attack and died. Oh, that actor died. Oh, that famous person just died. They're not going to tell you that's related to that, to the jabs. They're just going to say, oh, well, you know, it's natural causes. Finishing off the article, it says the World Health Organization officially declared COVID was no longer a global health emergency on the 5th of May, 2023. So there you go, people. I'm saying that they told you it's all over now. As I do the update, you will see that it is not, that they want you to keep the fear rolling. So next article, just before you get into the Rats of Oz, because I'm only going to do five or six of them, but they're the big high haunches. We just want to see where they went. Well, after they got their bags of gold, where did they go? What job did they get? I'll get right into that after these stories. Okay, now this is a YouTube thing. It's for the ABC News Australia, where they unfortunately have 2 million subscribers. I'm saying that because comments are turned off. They won't have the comments on because you can imagine what people are saying. So it says this had 11,000, nearly 12,000 views on November the 21st, 2023. This is interesting, people. New COVID-19 vaccines to be available within weeks. That's now. And it's got new COVID vaccines targeting the latest virus variants will arrive in Australia within weeks. This is obviously Pfizer. With Australians being urged to access these latest jabs on the country deals as, sorry, the country deals with its eighth wave of infections. Did you even know there was eight people? It said just 27% of people aged 75 or over have received a booster in the past 6 months. I just want to get rid of them real quick, people. And it says, and that drops to 20% of those between 65 and 74. So they're trying to scare you into a booster, which will make you sick and eventually kill you. And that's the whole point. It's a sort of it's a euthanasia program, a stealth one. Even though on the news, embezzled right across all the headlines was all of the states in Australia are now doing euthanasia. So you can go off and legally kill yourself. I'm serious. That's what this is. So it says, Health Minister Mark Butler says the government has accepted the latest advice from the Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation, with the new vaccines to be made available from the 11th of December. So there's your date, when all businesses will start looking at their employers and going, have you had the shot? No. Oh, you haven't had the shot. Well, we'll warn you again, and then maybe in a month if you haven't had it, we'll have to let you go. These are really serious things. This is what happened the first time round. You know, I got put off. I was at a job, quite happy, next minute, and wouldn't get the jab. Off you go. Never went back. This is what happens, people. So it says, that's just a transcript there. They have got the transcript, but I'm not sure if I'll, let me just have a look at how long it is. I'll see how long the clip goes for, and that'll give me an idea of the transcript. It's only 3 minutes, so maybe the transcript is pretty short, but let's have a look. We want to see what the government is putting out there via Google, which is YouTube, to see what the plebs may read. So it's got the transcript. And it's not showing a transcript. Although there it is. It's got like a timeline, but really it's only a short sentence where it's got a timeline, time, and you click on it, it'll take you to that part of the story. So, but really that whole story, now looking at that 3 minutes, they're really pushing old people to go and get the jabs, go and get the boosters. That's it. Because, you know, it also boosts the government's coffers. They hit the Australian taxpayer for the dollars to pay for the vaccine. So in the end, Pfizer just lines its pockets and the obituaries line their lists. Now, moving on to this, Channel 7 are putting out the scare campaign towards the COVID, the new COVID wave, that's a super wave that's coming, that you need to get your boosters. So this is Channel 7's version of the scare campaign from the Prestute Media. I just thought I'd play it so you can listen to it. It only goes for like a minute or so, but you'll hear all the new experts coming in to tell you what to think. And one of them even says, I don't think you should have to change anything you're doing. And I'm thinking, really, what a nice person to not put the scare campaign on just yet. But have a listen to this and then you'll know what I'm talking about.
The state is in the grip of a fresh COVID wave and we are being warned vaccination is our best defence. The infection rate has exploded, doubling in a little over a month, and authorities are on edge as Christmas approaches.
From pandemic to endemic, we're told it's no surprise COVID's surging again. Case numbers up 94% since October.
What makes these variants of COVID different to what we saw during the pandemic?
For about the last year and a bit, we've had more like a super variant, and that's sort of what makes it so difficult to know where the epidemic's going to go from here.
Modelling predicts a high rate of infection into summer.
That probably includes Christmas and New Year period.
The latest public health data reveals the number of cases recorded in the fortnight till November 18. What we can see here are the highest numbers recorded in northern and southwest Sydney districts, with a clear concentration in western Sydney, recording 1,100 cases. Now, overlay that with sewage tests, which sewage indicate tests. The highest concentrations of COVID are in Bondi, Liverpool,
they're sifting
and Quakers
through the poo.
Hill.
But thanks to vaccination and to some extent natural infection, a lot of the community now has levels of immunity that will protect them.
Yeah. We don't need to change the behaviours across the whole of society. I don't think there's any need to cancel major events or really change what we do. Mate.
Instead, we're advised tackle the virus with good hygiene and boosters. Vaccines available from December 11.
It's complex, so check on the website for information where you fit, or check with your health provider to make sure you've got the best advice.
Tom Hartley, 7 News.
Yeah, I couldn't help myself, people, because when I hear that stuff, they're just reading a teleprompter. It's scripted. They all just say what they're supposed to say to get the result from the public, which is go and get a shot. So Pfizer and all the major shareholders get a kick. And of course, if something happens to you, well, there's other people to jab up. It's absolutely criminal. It's a massive cash grab, but it also wipes out a lot of the elderly and disabled, the people they're targeting. They're the ones initially when the pandemic started. So let them first. Let them get the shots first. They're the first ones that are going to go. So, yeah, anyway, we'll see. Over the years to come, lots of people will die because of this. And you will see a death rate climb, but they won't tie it to the vaccination. They'll never do that because they want you to keep getting jabbed. So the idea is that they don't want you to think that that could be actually causing you to die or get sick. Anyway, it's only like this is happening worldwide. It's not just Australia. It's happening worldwide. Because they need these to be global pandemics. They don't want ones that can be just wiped out from a certain area, like they've been doing for years in places like India and Africa. Now, they want this to spread. So the idea is to make sure that everyone's being jabbed. They all know what they're expected to do to stop a transmissionable, I think that's how you say it, pandemic. In other words, they want to make sure that whatever is out there can be transmitted globally. Then they get global control at the same time. So if you do it bit by bit, you don't get a global control. You just get that area. That's why they wanted this to become global. That was the whole idea of it. It wasn't meant to be here or there or whatever. Regional, they want to make sure that it's everywhere. It's like global. Then they can get everyone to do the same thing at the same time. That's what they've always wanted to do, is get everyone moving at the same time to whatever beat they want to hit. And this is what's coming. They're going to do another one. Looks like they're about to start to try and do another one. I hope people this time don't. take heed and fight back. So we don't have to do protest marches in major cities where people get arrested and demonised for something that is just common sense. It's very obvious what they're doing now, and I'm hoping most people get it. They don't just fall for it again. You know, don't get fooled again. Anyway, so, and funny enough, that's from the band called The Who, but this time we are actually trying to avoid The Who, the World Health Organization. So let's not get fooled again, okay, people? Okay, I'll just read this final ABC story, then we'll get into the Rats of Oz in the last half an hour. So this story is called Moderate to High COVID-19 Spread in New South Wales Amid Spike in Australians Getting Booster Vaccination. Huh? You're thinking, hang on, monitor a high spread amid spike in Australians getting the booster vaccine? Heck, why would it go up if you're getting the... They need to revisit that headline. But anyway, it says, this came out 23rd of November 2023, abc.net.au. So I'm just going to scroll down and get this story, and then we'll move on to the Rats of Oz, which I really should do a proper story, but you do have to wait till the smoke settles to see what's left with the fire, if there's any embers, and then try and sift through it to find the culprits that have done runners. Because really, this is the best way to do this. If I had done it during the pandemic, there's a good chance that a few of them would have escaped. We don't want that. We want to make sure that we can see exactly what they did and where they went. And that sort of gives you a clear path on where the bag of gold was dropped at their feet and then the job prospect that was offered to them for taking it. Because that's what happens. They're not going to just, you know, roll over and get nothing for it. All these people are on the take every time. That's the type of people they are. So it says, the number of COVID-19 cases reported in New South Wales has jumped over 20% in the past fortnight. With health experts, don't you love it? Health experts saying a rise in vaccinations may reflect concerns about another COVID Christmas. So they're saying that people are running out and getting shots because they're worried about the holiday period that they may be disrupted. But my point is the cases are rising and they're getting jabbed. Is that a correlation or not? anyway, it says community transmission of COVID is increasing and is now considered moderate to high, New South Wales Health said. They haven't put a name to that. There's no New South Wales Health. Who is it? Dr. Paul Kelly? Is it the other guy? Or is it Catherine Bennett? Who's saying it? So it says New South Wales Health data released Thursday shows COVID activity increased across all indicators, with over 5,700 COVID notifications from laboratory tests in the fortnight ending to November the 18th. Wouldn't that also correlate with the fact that people are getting ready to go on holidays, overseas trips, and they're getting all these boosters to make sure they can't be turned around mid-flight or mid-holiday back to their destination? Would that be why it's spiking? But they're saying the COVID cases are spiking, so maybe more people are going in to get tested and finding out they've got it because no one's testing anymore. So that's also a possibility. Reading on. It says that represents a 20% increase in COVID notifications from the previous fortnightly reporting period. It says total emergency department presentations for COVID-19 for the fortnight ending November the 19th were higher than the fortnight ending the 5th of November. Although there was a small decline in the last week, it said in its latest report released Thursday. The number of admissions and proportion requiring admission remained stable, suggesting no increase in severity of the disease. So the press tube media is winding this up for a reason, people. Okay, to get more people to go out and get the shots, right? So more people fall under the spell. It says COVID notification rates continue to be the highest in young children aged up to 4 years and persons aged over 65 years and older. They're the targets. I tell you now, people, that age bracket, the young ones and the elderly ones, they're the targets. They want less people, okay? They don't want older people living longer and they don't want younger people turning into older people. I'm serious about that. This is why they say they're the most at risk. Go and get the shots. So it says in the latest Federal Health Department data, it indicates there were 17,300 vaccine doses administered in New South Wales in the fortnight to November the 8th, compared to 9,700 doses in the two-week reporting period prior. So it makes you wonder that people aren't just, they're going out and getting the jab. This is pretty funny. Going out and getting the jab, and because they've had the jab, then they got sick and it reported that they had COVID. You still get COVID with a jab, people. People think you can't. Oh, no, it never worked. They forgot to tell you about that part. Now just scrolling back up again. And it says it was the highest rise in booster doses being administered among Australian states. Associate Professor, oh, here we go, a name, Holly Seal from the University of New South Wales School of Population Health said recent news coverage of two additional vaccinations and the prospect of a surge of cases in December might have put the virus front of mind. I think the press chief media scare tactic is more likely the reason, people. It says, so certainly there's that's leading some people going and getting vaccinated. And, of course, GPs have been activated. You love that. GPs have been activated to have these conversations, especially with people who are most at risk, the exact ones they want to target. It's got Australian Medical Association, New South Wales President, Dr. Michael Bonning, there's a new name into the fray, people, said people are starting to think about getting another vaccine as the end of the year rolls around. Well, of course, you've got to make sure that you keep doing something that doesn't work because they'll tell you it does. It says there are a significant number of people who haven't had a COVID booster, haven't no shot at all, or had COVID recently. So people are worried about that, he said. I like how people are worried about that because this guy knows. It's just prostitute media rubbish, people. It's BS that they just throw at you to make you think a certain way. That's all it is. It goes on to say, he said, updated vaccines help protect people against the new variants and strains in circulation and promote better immunity. Of course, that's why it's still happening. That's why millions are still dying. People are still getting it because the vaccinations work. It says, that's why we need new versions of the vaccine in the setting of increasing numbers of COVID cases being reported. So they're going to keep saying this. Whichever way it matters, but the death rate will still climb, okay? And all the associations with the jab will still climb. This is just a massive, when people realize that the medical system has been hijacked, then they'll get it. So it says New South Wales Health said people aged 65 years and older and everyone aged 18 years and over who are at a higher risk of severe illness should have the COVID vaccine dose if it's been a year since their last dose of infection. So in other words, if you're sick, they want you to take the vaccine so you can get sicker. It's also recommended everyone aged over 75 and older get a booster if it has been more than 6 months since the last dose or infection. So even though you get infected, and I haven't had the jab, but even though people could get infected and recover, they don't want you to do that. They want you to get a shot and a booster, then get sick and try to recover by getting more boosters. It's your body has no chance at natural immunity while they keep blocking it. Okay? No chance. So it says, and this is the end it up, it says, now is a good time to consider getting a COVID-19 booster vaccination for anyone aged over 65 years and over or at a higher risk of severe COVID-19 illness. Who hasn't had one in the last 6 months? They're just assuming everyone's had one. Not everyone has had one, and not everyone's going to get any more of them. This is the thing. But they're going to keep pushing it, people. Every time there's they want to get a boost in the shots and they want to get a bump up the major shareholders in Pfizer, they're going to do this. I won't read any more in the article. It does waffle on a bit, but it just goes on about getting the shot. The idea of the article is to scare you that something new is coming, get a shot. That's it. They'll just keep saying it and they'll push the GPs on it. You won't get into a hospital unless you've had 100 shots. It's getting to the point now where the health system is not helping anymore, okay? Because they would know, they have to know, or the people at the top of the health must know that there's something wrong with all this, okay? Taking shots that don't work is definitely at the top of the list, okay? I told you, when the shots started, the death rate rose, okay? Dramatically, worldwide. So you understand that this did not stop it, okay? They're saying it stopped it, but there's more people dying all the time, okay? They're just not reporting it now. They're telling you it's over. And they're going to throw another scare to get you on board for the next pandemic that Bill Gates told you is coming and will be far worse than the first one. So the moment they start doing these little events where they plan what they're going to do with the WHO and what they're going to do with all the countries and all the populations, then you know they've got a really big one coming. Okay, so I've only got like 10 more minutes of podcast to go, so I'm obviously not going to get the five culprits that I wanted to talk about in, but we'll just we'll line up the number one guy first. We'll start with number one. Probably next week I'll come in with the others. I might add some more in because it's probably time to start naming and shaming them all and then put the story to go up with it, which is all the heads and a little caption of their head or the mean meme. Probably the best one. I'm actually collating all the memes over the last few years before while the pandemic was going, because they were the best ones. And I'll probably stick them in a collage and shove them up there, and everyone can have a really big belly laugh. Some of them have gone. You might have forgotten about them, but they're all still there. But the main culprit of the coronavirus hoax in Australia was the head honch. And you're going, oh, ScoMo, Scott. No. It actually wasn't Scott Morrison. If you think about it, he fobbed it. He said the government is not mandating the jab. But then you're thinking, well, then why did everyone have to get it? Well, guess what? It was a health rule. Remember that they changed all the it was a health mandate, that's probably the better word, where they advised businesses to make sure all their employees were vaccinated. Remember that? And they passed the buck. But there was a head honch of that, people. There was a guy that actually took the reins, actually worked for the WHO at one stage and the World Economic Forum. And we're talking about none other than Greg Hunt himself. And you're going, yeah, whatever happened to Greg Hunt? Well, let's have a dig and I'll actually expose that. I mean, basically, he quit. And I'm telling you this now. He quit because of the amount of death threats he was getting. This is why most of them have quit. They won't put that in the headlines because, you know, it's a bad thing. But it's a truth because people suffered in that 3 years really badly, like more than they've ever suffered in their whole life, simply because they lost their freedoms. They didn't get a choice, okay? Some of us took that choice and we took it the hard road, okay? But a lot of people didn't. Okay, there's a lot of people that are now very, very confused with what's happened. Well, you shouldn't be confused. You should understand that billionaires are trying to control the planet globally. It's not factions here and there anymore. They are joining hands to do what they want to do, which is to eradicate most of the people on the planet. That's their goal. Okay, why? Because it creates more space for them, but they don't need the money or the power. They have the technologies. They've bought everything to last through the rest of their life. They don't need to increase or compete anymore. They're joining forces, people. It looks like they're all against each other. They're not, people. They're all in Mount Olympus. They're all looking at each other and they're looking at the plebs. We're the targets. We are the targets now, okay? So you really need to get that. You really need to see that as clear as it is, because if you see it that way, then you understand what's happening to the food, the water. You're understanding what's happening to everything and how nothing is being fixed, because it's not meant to be. Okay, it's all just hot air now. The governments and the councils, it's all hot air. They just talk and talk, but nothing changes. It's not meant to. In Australia, the Labor and the Liberal Party is the Labor Party, one and the same. The screaming and the stuff that goes on in Parliament doesn't affect their six-figure pay packet, okay? So think about it like that. Bit of a Punch and Judy pantomime. That's probably the best way to put it. Anyway, so let's get all the Greg Hunt dirt up, and I will continue this next week just so that we can see the beginnings of the Rats of Oz. We can see how they scurried away with their bags of gold and lined themselves up with their cushy jobs. I mean, this is the reality of how it works, people. This is not new either. This has been going on for eons. This is how the systems work because it's called a reward system. You know, as I said, go and watch that movie, The Magic Christian, with Ringo Starr and Peter Sellers, and you'll see that anyone can be bribed. Now, I know it's just a movie. The theme of that is true, okay? People will have a price. It's very, very simple, and it's really, really sad that it's come to that. But this is the world we live in now. It's even more like that than ever. Most people are corrupt, and the moniker for this time and forward is don't get caught. That's it, okay? Don't get caught. That's what the new moniker is for people from now on in the world. The majority of people are doing very bad things, and they don't want to get caught. And they all watch their own backs. That's what they do. So I should say they all watch each other's backs. That's it. So as soon as one goes down, they try to demonize the person that's the whistleblower. That's why nobody wants to be a whistleblower, because look what happens to them. Now, I don't want this to be some sort of witch hunt. It's not. I'm just giving you the facts as I see them, all right? You make that decision on what you think these people have done, okay? So it says here, this is in the Wikipedia. I'm not going to go through the whole thing because I don't have enough time anyway. And I just want to read the part about the world, just what he's done, who he's worked for and all that. So you get an idea of where the bags of gold came from initially, all right, to get him on that path. Because that's what you've got to do. Remember here that there are people above these people that bring them in. They're just minions. He's just a minion. He's nothing more than that, all right? And I'm just seeing if I can get to the career part. So it says it here. It's got Hunt joined the law firm, Mallison Stephen Jacques, after completing his undergraduate degree. So he's in law. He's not even a doctor. He was the health minister. He's got nothing to do with the medical field. So just remember that. And it says in 1992, he was an associate to Michael Black, the Chief Justice of the Federal Court of Australia. So that's a bigwig, people. Hunt subsequently completed a Master of Arts in International Relations at Yale University. So he's gone overseas. Okay, he's in the US as a Fulbright scholar. He also interned at the United Nations Center for Human Rights in Geneva, researching atrocities in the former Yugoslavia. So he's out there now, people. In 1994, Hunt began working as a senior advisor to Alexander Downer. Remember him, people? The federal leader of the opposition, and he remained in Downer's office until 1998. It says, spanning his resignation as a Liberal leader and later appointed as foreign minister in the Howard government, he was chief of the Australian Electoral Observer Mission at the 1908 Cambodian general election. So he's getting around. He's global now, people. It says, Hunt subsequently worked as a senior fellow at the University of Melbourne Centre for Comparative Constitutional Law and as an engagement manager at the management consultants McKinsey & Co. and held position of Director of Strategy at the World Economic Forum. He was foundation investor and project management software company Aconex and has had to sell his shares in 2013 when he became government minister. Now, actually, I think I said earlier that he was part of the WHO, and he's not. But he was when he became the health federal health minister. Then he was directly talking. But this guy's got a background in law, nothing to do with health. This is where people don't get it when they see these ministers in charge of a portfolio. It doesn't matter what the portfolio is. They're going to do as they're told. Okay, now this guy is he's got around, as you can see, but the World Economic Forum was the big one. So the turning point probably came about there, maybe a bit earlier, and he was swayed. So he was perfect for the part he played in the biggest hoax in world history. Okay, he was perfect for it. So I don't want to go into anything else about what he's done and all that. You already know all that stuff. Okay, so now we're just going to go into stories about him that are recent. We don't want anything too old. Now this one's prior to the pandemic, only just by a year or so, but it says Greg Hunt defends verbal confrontation over matter of life and death. Now he's the health minister, right? He's already become the health minister, and this is from theguardian.com. Now, from the smiling cardigan type wearing person that he is, there is a profanity here, but I won't say it. But it says, Greg Hunt has admitted his former departmental head made a complaint about him after a verbal confrontation, adding to the incident where the health minister told the mayor of Katherine she needed to effing get over it. So these are the sort of people that are running the country, people, okay? This is how they talk to each other. Hunt began Thursday apologising for his expletive-ridden confrontation with the mayor of Katherine, Faye Miller, last December, after it was revealed by News Corp but then faced sustained pressure in question time about other incidents in which he may have used inappropriate language with stakeholders, bureaucrats, or staff. So this is the real person, okay? And as we get into the stories I read after this, you'll understand that this guy's very good at deflecting, passing the buck, and not directly taking the reins for what happened during the COVID pandemic, okay? So it's got Malcolm Turnbull was asked whether he was aware of other incidents and avoided answering in the specific, noting only that Hunt was doing an outstanding job. It's another former Prime Minister. When Labor pursued the line of questioning, the Health Minister admitted he had a strong discussion at the former Secretary of his department that had triggered a complaint to the Secretary of the Prime Minister's department. But Hunt defended the confrontation, telling Parliament the stoush was over a matter of life and death, the progress of cervical cancer screenings. And he says, I think in that situation, while it was a strong discussion, it resulted in the right outcome. The program was able to be continued, and I have utmost respect for the public servant involved, the minister said. It's just funny how they twist it all, make it sound like it's right to, go off at someone and then expect it to all just go away. This is why they think they're above, in his case, the law, where he can just do what he wants, say what he wants to anyone, however. And this is the guy that took the reins a year and a half later when the worst hoax in human history hit. So reading on, it says, when Martin Bowles resigned as Secretary of the Health Department in late 2017, it was reported there were tensions between the senior bureaucrat and his boss. Hunt travails added to a choppy week for the Turnbull government. So that's when Malcolm Turnbull was Prime Minister. Earlier on Thursday, the government withdrew its own legislation toughening the regulations governing the live sheep trade. And here we go. It's going on about political things. It's moving away from Hunt and not talking about it anymore. So it's gone straight into politics after that. And we don't want to read that. That's old politics. But it shows you the character. That's why I read it, people. So the next story says, and I think this is, July the 9th, 2022. And it's from thesaturdaypaper.com.au. And it says, I'll see if I can scroll down before. That's it. Now it says, an extraordinary letter sent to the new treasurer and other ministers reveals details of a staggering deal done in the Morrison government. This is the other prime minister that's now gone. His final month in office. Greg Hunt's $400 million secret deal. And you're going, what? And I'm going, what? Because I didn't know about this either. And it says, the first concerning phone call came from the former health minister, Greg Hunt's office, to the chief executive of Private Healthcare Australia, Rachel David, on November the 3rd last year. The caller, she claims, wanted money. It's like one of those whodunit stories, isn't it? But this is what's going on, people. These are the sort of things that come out of the woodwork and get you thinking about who you're listening to during the pandemic. So it says, the person on the line wasn't Hunt or any of his policy people with whom she usually dealt, but another staffer in the minister's office. According to David, the caller suggested a $20,000 donation to Hunt's own electorate conference. And the person said, well, I don't give donations to specific electorates. She tells the Saturday paper. That's who did the story. You know, in situations where we're in an acrimonious negotiation, I can't do that. A spokesman for Hunt denied absolutely and unequivocally that any such call happened. The Saturday paper is not suggesting Hunt was aware of it or directed it. David, whose organisation represents 20 providers of health insurance covering about 14 million Australians, says she is prepared to name the person under the right circumstances. It says those circumstances being that she has the protection of a parliamentary committee or formal legal process. Her allegation about the phone call is one in a series of inflammatory claims contained in a lengthy document entitled Prothesius List Reform, Interactions with the Coalition Federal Government. It was compiled by David and the PHA in support of their complaint that they were missiled by the former Morrison government about promised reforms that would have saved the insurers and ultimately policyholders millions of dollars. All were included in a letter addressed to Treasurer Jim Chalmers and the Finance Minister Katie Gallagher and copied to the incoming Labor Health Minister Mark Butler a couple of weeks ago. This is pretty bad, people. It says most Australians would never have heard of the prothesis list by which prices are set for more than 11,000 types of medical devices, including things ranging from heart pacemakers to artificial hips and knees to simple screws and plates, staples and glues, and all manner of other medical hardware used in surgery. So you can see another dirty deal was going on there. It was worth ridiculous amounts of money. So you can see this is painting the character. I'm not going to read the rest of the story. It's quite long, but it just shows you a bit of a scandal going on 18 months ago. Now we move to the next one. And this is more up to date. I just thought I'd get onto that because we want to know what he's doing now. What's his job now? We know all about Greg Hunt. We remember him in the pandemic, but what is he doing now? So February the 13th, 2023, the Sydney Morning Herald, so the smh.com.au. Former Health Minister wants focus back on COVID as he embarks on a new job. And you go, oh, what is it? And why is he getting to boss people around again? Well, not quite the same way. But remember, he's still got clout. He did what they wanted, so they've given him a bit of power. It says, pandemic-era health minister, I love that, Greg Hunt, is urging a national rethink on COVID-19's threat level, calling for a new vaccine push heading into winter and renewed focus on the volume of people dying from disease. Now, where have we heard that before? Isn't it happening now? And we're about to go into the holiday summer season and they're saying the same thing. In his first interview since the Morrison government's defeat, the now retired MP, who is beginning a new job with the University of Melbourne, also propounded the need for the Liberal Party to attract multicultural and female candidates and declared history would judge the coalition's pandemic response positively. I think it's going to more or less, it's going to judge him more than anything because he was the one at the head of it. It's got a big smiling Greg Hunt in his new job with his hand in his pocket. Something to hide there, Greg? Hunt dismissed criticism about the vaccine rollout, which was pillarised by commentators and some state premiers, and noted the uptake of boosters was slow. This is a guy, he's not a doctor, Phil, and said clear ongoing public messaging on vaccines was crucial. This is a guy that is not trained in anything medical. That says, without directly criticising the Albanese government elected in May, he said aged care deaths had risen dramatically. That's because they're all shot up since allowed governments across the world to drop onerous restrictions. So they're all jabbed up. They're into their third and fourth shots and they're dying. And he's complaining about that and he's smiling. I mean, there's something dreadfully wrong about all these people. So moving on through the story. It says, sadly, there's been a doubling of deaths from COVID in aged care in the last 9 months. That's exactly why this is happening. It's because of him this is happening. It says, compared with the previous 28 months. That's because they've been jabbed. That's why there's more dying now. He says, but with very little public awareness or commentary either within the media or government, because he wants more of them jabbed. That says there is a risk of losing focus. What about lies? Hunt told this Maskhead, noting the overall death rate outside aged care had also risen. They're all jabbed up and they're all dying. Why is he surprised? Exactly what he wanted. And it says, reading on, I hope we have a renewed focus on vaccination as we approach winter. This is a non-doctor. Now might be a very timely moment to step up the vaccination campaign. He's probably getting a kickback from Pfizer or whoever. I mean, this is obvious. They're all on the take, people. All of them. He doesn't give a hoot what happens to people, especially in aged care centres. So it says about 34% of the eligible population has had four vaccine doses. That's 34%. One in three have been jabbed four times, people. And it says 35% have had three. The rest have had two or fewer. What about none? The government last week announced fifth shots will be available from February the 20th. So that 30% would be jabbed up five times now, people. That's really what's going to happen. So you can expect one in three people in Australia to have had five jabs. It says in his new role as honorary Melbourne Enterprise Professor, Hunt will work across university faculties and chair the medical school. The medical school, he's not even a doctor, people. He is not a doctor. Okay, he's trained in law and things to do with that, but nothing to do with this. He got that title as a portfolio in the Morrison government. Look what he's done with it. Look what happened, people. This is what happens when you put a lawyer or someone like that in charge of health. You're just going to get a yes man that does exactly as he's told. And it says he joins prominent banker John Wiley through his billion-dollar Tanara Capital Fund and former Victorian Premier John Brumby through the state government-run Breakthrough Victoria in partnering with the university to turn research into high-value goods and services. What a con. These people are just rolling around in ridiculous amounts of gold, having a big belly laugh at us, people. Hunt, it says, will help steer a 10-year plan to create an environment in which cutting-edge medical research is turned into products. And here I was talking about that story earlier, the $400 million secret deal, you know, where all the medical tools and products cost almost three times as much as other parts of the world. The guy is a creep. You say he's into the bottom line, the bucks, and doing as he's told from the globalist multinationals. That's what's happening here, people. He said, and this is straight from him, I always said as health minister, Melbourne was one of the three greatest medical research precincts along with Boston and Cambridge. This is a non-doctor. He said, we are world leading with them in research and treatment. We are also very good at innovation, but we have the capacity to join them as world leading. The prospects for Melbourne are almost unlimited as a city. It creates jobs and wealth and enormous health and career outcome for Australians. This is a guy that's a globalist. Not interested in Australia or Melbourne. It says Hunt pointed to recent investments by CSL and Moderna. This is what he's doing, people. Okay, this is what he's after. He wants the vaccinations to increase to give more money to the shareholders. I'm sorry, that's it. I'm not even going to read the rest of it. It's obvious what is happening here. Okay, he's a businessman on the take. Very simple. Okay, now there's a couple more stories and I've run out of time, but I'm just going to quickly jump through them. You can see why I want to do it next week properly. But I mean, we all know about Greg Hunt. Now you know about his new job, you see, where he's pushing products for the medical side through the vaccinations, through those companies. That's how he got promoted. Are you surprised? Because I'm not. It was obvious what they were going to give him for doing such a good job. Now, this next one I'll put up, and I put it up on the, after the podcast. It says, contact Greg Hunt. This is a classic, people, because, you know, these people are uncontactable. But you can actually contact him, people, and maybe tell him what you think. So it's got, contact Greg Hunt. Please use the following form to email me. To contact the Flinders Electoral Office, please click here. So he's not part of that, the politics anymore. I'm just going to see if I can get look at his Facebook. I just want to see if he's, because they would monitor that. There's no way you would get on, no, you can't get to it. There's no way you would get to the Facebook and say what you think of him. It would be completely moderated off there in a split second. So I'm not going to go into it, but it would be interesting if you wanted to send him a message, people. So I'll put that up with the story anyway. But anyway, the main story is this one. It's actually greghunt.com.au. Don't you love it, people? And it says here, this is so funny. I mean, this is a guy promoting himself as an ex-politician and as a, you know, very successful businessman for the globalists. He says, I have now retired from Parliament. Thank you, Flinders. Thank you, Australia. Thank you, globalists. No, he didn't say that. It has been an honour and a privilege to serve. I congratulate Zoe McKenzie on the election as member for Flinders. I am delighted to have been appointed Honorary Melbourne Enterprise Professor by the University of Melbourne and the Chair of Monash University Turner Institute Advisory Council. So that's what he got in the end. A big fat job with a big fat bag of gold. That's the sort of thing that you can expect from people like this. Now, what I wanted to get to, just before I finish up, because I have gone way over the podcast, I think it's in the Wikipedia where he would have got the death threat. So I'm going to see if I can find it. There's many stories about it where he says his family was threatened. When really, when you think about it, they're threatening him. He's just trying to pass the buck. See if I can find it. It might have it here, but I don't know if it... I don't think it's in here, but... No, it's not here. Let me just see if I can find it, because there was a death threats on his family at one stage. One sec. No, it wasn't the wiki, but I did find this, and I'll quickly say this because it's very interesting. You get the right person saying the right things, and they get the job. So it says here, This is in January 2007. Hunt was appointed Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister of Foreign Affairs following the Coalition's defeat at the 2007 election. He was appointed Shadow Minister for Climate Change. Could you believe it? This is Dr. No One becoming, or Doctor Who, becoming a climate change expert. He said he became the Shadow Minister for Climate Change. Okay, I found a Sydney Morning Herald article about it, October the 20th, 2021. Health Minister Greg Hunt has choked back tears while recalling violent threats made against him and his young family as the Australian Federal Police reviews the security arrangements of federal MPs following the stabbing murder of their British counterpart. It says, Mr. Hunt, first elected 20 years ago, said the violent threats against MPs, including Northern Territory Chief Minister Michael Gunner, at the weekend must be clearly, absolutely, unequivocally condemned. I mean, this did happen, but this is why it happened, because these people did terrible things to people over a hoax. It said Mr. Gunner's family had to leave their Darwin home after his personal address was disclosed in front on a large contingent of anti-vaccine protesters at the weekend. So that's why Gunner did a runner. Says Mr. Hunt told reporters in Canberra he had never spoken about the details of the threats received. There was a period where, the lives of my children were threatened quite openly some years ago, and that it was a matter of great concern. But we have very fine federal police in this country, an emotional Hunt said. I mean, these people, they do these draconian measures on people and they expect to get away scot-free. Of course people are going to go after them. Because for a start, people were given no choice. They lost jobs. They couldn't visit family relatives. People died in aged care centres without seeing their family. Of course that's going to anger people. Is he stupid? I mean, for sure. And the fact that he's done a runner, like Gunner, just shows exactly the type of character he is. But the fact is, he's been awarded a very big job at the university to bring in billions of dollars through the multinationals. So you can see that this guy is making sure that he's well protected. He's not like doing a runner like Gunner. This guy is remaining amongst the globalists. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say here. So it says, continuing, to those that think violence or a threat of violence is acceptable in any way, shape or form, it is not. As a country, we have to relearn the value of respect. Oh, he wants respect? He shouldn't have done what he did. I mean, this is where people are really going to start pointing the finger. And I like how he said his family. Really, they're after him. They're not interested in his family. They're interested in him because he's the one that is actually causing these problems. Not the family, him. So it says, and I don't mean holding parliamentarians up on any pedestal. We're not better than anybody, but they're not worse than anybody. So he's making sure that he's deflecting it and saying they're all the same, but they're not. He was the health minister and the buck stopped with him, people. Okay? And it says they are overwhelmingly public servants that seek to serve the nation. No, it's him thereafter. And it says, and there will be differing views and different approaches. But this notion of national tolerance and mutual respect is something I believe in. That's why I did a runner and grabbed the money. We follow the advice of the police at a state and federal level based on threat assessments. But it's that culture of mutual respect which is critical. No one's going to respect someone like that. Not a doctor telling everyone what to do, doing a runner, pushing climate change. The guy is a walking hoax. And now he's embedded in a university to try and gouge more for the globalists. It's just sickening. But that's the world we live in. Now, look, it goes on and on and on, but I'm not going to get caught up in what they say about other people and what's happened to them. I'm just giving you the bottom end of where these people end up, okay? That's where he ended up. So I'm going to end the podcast now because I've gone way over, more than normal. But next week, I'll bring them all in, the ScoMos, all of them. We'll get them all and see where they're at now. What sort of bags of gold did they get at the end of their tenure as a minion for the globalists? But Greg Hunt won out. You can see that he's very happy that he's still protected and he's still amongst it and he still can point the finger. And just so I don't become a target, just so they know, I don't condone violence in any form, okay? But these people need to be held accountable for because of what they did. They cannot be allowed to get away with this, but I don't condone violence in any form because it doesn't actually fix anything. It just creates more violence. So the idea is you've got to stop these people in their tracks before they do it. They are using coercion, people. That's what this is all about. The prostitute media through the corporations is coercing you to do something that the government says is a good idea, which is the vaccinations. It needs to stop. And they need to find the perpetrators who created the virus in the first place. Because if we don't stop this, people, as it's been on the news lately, it's going to happen again. And as you can see, this is, it's the minions are not the ones to be targeting anyway. Okay, we can call them out. It's the actual perpetrators of the actual agenda that needs to be exposed so this never happens again. Anyway, people, looks like I'm at the end of the podcast. This is the Conspiracy Oz podcast for Tuesday, the 28th of November, 2023. Thanks for listening. Over and out.